What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hey, this is Chi.
And Mini Del Macho.
I'm hurting all over.
Again?
Yeah.
Is it the age or the alcohol?
It's the work and the work.
Yeah. Oh.
I keep looking at my hand because I got a nail through my hand.
I see that.
Yesterday.
It's all puffy.
It's all puffy. And I get nails stuck in me all the time, but this one, for some reason, is really hurting. I think it might have hurt a nerve or something.
I'm so sorry.
Maybe it was all rusty. Hmm? Little rusty nail.
Yeah, but I got a tetanus like really recently because I get nails stuck in me all the time.
Wow. Remember when I was working with you, you had just like regular shoes and you like step right on a nail.
Oh yeah, it happens all the time, dude. It's a combination of cheap shoes and fat ass.
Okay.
Or fat, just being fat in general, because that. Yep, puncture wounds all over.
Getting
so
nailed,
much
getting
so that I went out
there.
And I went to Boot World and I was like, hey guys, I need steel. And they're like, steel toes? We got plenty. No, I need steel bottoms. And they're like, they have like 200 boots and only two of them had steel bottoms for that.
Yeah.
And then I never wear those because they're so heavy. Walking around like fucking Frankenstein.
Good workout though.
Yep.
All right. We got a new Patreon, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Sean, hooking it up. And if you want to be a Patreon, we are terrible at business, so you almost get more back than what you give us. For $5, you get a $20 t-shirt, basically. So we're counting on you to stick around for at least 4 months, but sometimes people don't. But for the most part, we're not taking a loss here. So anyway, get a sick shirt. For $10, you get more than one shirt. Go to Patreon DL Digital Logic.
You know, I talked to him. He said he doesn't want a shirt.
Who?
Like Sean.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, all the links you need, it's at dlgaming.net. That's our official website, and then of course, don't forget to check us out on Twitch. We are live every week at digital_logic with a K.
With a K.
With a K.
Just to make it difficult.
Who do we have to thank for that again? Is that?
That would be Emilio. Over
that's
here.
Emilio's side, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Spell things correctly. All right. Well, we don't have much in the way of an intro, but we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get to On the Radar, some games that have come to our attention. I feel like things are really starting to pop up here. We got a lot of games that are just around the corner of coming out. And, you know, this is always the season for games, you know, right before Christmas is coming up. So,
or right before you have to lock down and go back to school, too.
Yeah.
Is the Christmas, I always feel like the Christmas thing is more of a console thing than it is. But I guess now that they're cross.
Gaming is more of a console thing, unfortunately.
Yeah. Is it though? I thought we made more money than them last year.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have those numbers.
All right. Look it up, chat.
First up is Life is Strange 2. So we've already known about this, but there's a new trailer that has been out. Have you guys watched it? It's more of a teaser trailer. It's not.
I have not.
That whole game feels like a trailer. It's a walking movie.
The strange thing about give me a trailer for a game like this is like, what could possibly show
gameplay?
Me?
Is it gameplay or is it just a trailer?
I guess we're about
it's like more or less the same thing, right?
And yeah, it's you'd have to listen to it to really get all of it.
Right, because it's more story, right?
Yeah, but it's basically a cop car's driving along. They get a call about a 10-10 in progress, which I guess is a fight. Cop steps out of the car. You don't see anything because this is all the dashboard camera of the cop car, and the cop car just flips over. So I don't know if this is somehow related to the events of the first game. This is supposed to be a continuation
a prequel, right?
of it. No. The other game was a prequel.
I didn't play that one.
Yeah, I didn't play the prequel either, although some people have told me that's better than the original game.
And it's so weird because, like, loved Life is Strange, and then that came out, and I had zero interest. And then this sequels. One, I don't have much interest. Yeah. I do have a ton of interest for the other one, the Captain Underpants one. It wasn't Captain Underpants, but it was like...
with the kid.
Yeah, like with
Captain
the kid.
Awesome.
Like that one, I'm so way... I don't know why. I don't know why I'm feeling these feelings.
Awesome nuts?
In my underpants.
I think it's nice that it's going to be an official sequel if it does continue on into the main story. I did play and beat the first Life is Strange, and I couldn't... It took me, 2 hours at most? 2.5, maybe?
No,
three.
Gee. It's like an hour per episode at least.
Yeah, like 2 hours per episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Episode. Yeah, so...
Oh, did you only play one episode, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Oh.
Oh, you're missing the best part.
Yeah, it gets so much better. Yeah, I hated the first one.
Like, I didn't like
the first one. No, I didn't play it. And I told everybody, I was like, guys, I don't know what it is about this. Why are you, like, making me... Like, why is everybody thinks it... And everybody told me it gets better per episode, and it surely did. By the end, I think I cried on this. At the end of
you cried?
Yeah, at the end of the last one, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Hmm. You're capable of crying, Amelia? Did you cry when you got nailed in the hand?
No.
Oh.
You know a funny thing about pain and me? Like, if it's something big, like something whacks me in the head or like or like a nail through the... Like, that shit doesn't really bother me very much.
I'm only giggling because I'm just like my... I don't know.
All this stuff happens. Oh, I walked into a great... walked into a... A sliding glass door last night. Wow.
But your life is like a Buster Keaton movie.
So none of that shit really bothers me. It's kind of like funny. I'll look at the wound or whatever. But if it's something tiny, like if Sam pulls one of my nose hairs or like or pops a pimple, then I'm like, ah, like don't touch me.
All right, so let's see. We got a release date on Life is Strange 2, September 27th. Going to be a little while. But I imagine we'll see more of the game before release.
When's the Captain Underpants one come out? Because they already have a...
If we could remember the name. It had Captain and Awesome in it. And I don't know if it's on Steam. I think maybe that's why I'm not finding it.
And I think there was a playable demo out, right? Gee,
trailer, you mean?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. They're both the same thing, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. My enthusiasm for this, I understand how amazing this game is, but my enthusiasm is just...
Captain Spirit?
And how do you...
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
So the same developers made a game about a little boy.
Yeah, we talked about this. Weren't you here?
There it is.
Possibly.
The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
There it is. That one. 100% free.
And it's made by the same developer.
Install game. So are they giving the first one out for free? Oh, yeah, I remembered. Yeah, they give you the first episode for free. And I didn't want to get involved until more episodes are out.
That's a terrible way to play. Just like the first one, and then like 5 months later.
No, much rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Episodic is fine as long as I can binge play it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's see what else we got. Dead Cells out of early access. That would explain why I've seen so many people playing this game.
That, and it's coming out on Switch as well.
It's not quite out of early access. It's coming out in a few days, probably 7th, 8th, or 9th, one of those.
Any big changes they've talked about?
They've always been working on this game tremendously, all the updates. We liked it back when it was just coming out.
Yeah, they've had rolling changes like monthly.
This is my 2018 roguelike of the year, for sure. So I can't wait to get back and... as soon as it comes out in full release and see what they've done better and keep moving on. You played to a point where it's like
you made it to the end of the early access.
Yeah, there was a sign that said you've made it to the end, right?
Yeah, basically it's like we haven't made any other part of
this
game.
So you're excited to go back?
Yeah, I definitely will. Once I hit that, I haven't played it since because I wanted to wait till there's more content.
Would you be pissed if you had to start from fresh?
No.
Not me neither. No. I almost look forward to it.
Yeah. I only had like maybe 20% of the items unlocked at that time. I mean, I'm sure there's more, so maybe like 5% now.
You're playing it
with a controller, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just a little salty because like I was having a hard time with this game today and fucking Sean comes over and just picks the weakest character and just gets as far as I've been in the last 2 hours.
Mini's pretty good with controller games.
Definitely good with controllers.
Hmm.
There was also a cinematic trailer for that.
That's coming out to celebrate their coming out. And it's pretty slick if you're into the series. Mm-hmm. If you're not into series, you'll definitely get what the series is about.
So we haven't really talked about the game. So anybody that hasn't listened to us talk about this game, Dead Cells is a 2D, what they call a roguevania now. So it's really difficult. I mean, there's boss battles and there's... It seems like anything can kill you in this game. Like, it's just really difficult. If you don't know the patterns, you're going to be dying a lot.
And not just that. You can know the patterns, but a combination of regular characters can fuck you up.
Yeah.
Good.
And then they get the elite characters. Like, usually, like, an elite will give you more loot or a special drop, maybe an item that you need to progress. So maybe you need to fight it. But those things are a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
They have a lot more health. They can spawn more enemies on them, and they teleport to you, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, for sure. Hmm. You kind of fear elites, you should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get an elite, and you're like, oh, cool, more gold out of this guy. But no, these ones are like, I got to approach this the correct way.
Yeah.
It's a great fucking game.
The modding community is getting into this also. I've seen a mod where it was like nothing but elites the whole game. It's just all elites. Like,
is it good through the Steam Workshop?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they opened their game up for mods. I hadn't realized.
Yeah, easy mod accessibility. They have a whole bunch of mods that they all make the game pretty much just harder if you don't think it's hard enough. I don't know. You haven't played it in a while, Amelia, but they have this thing called cells now. So you start at 0 cells. And you can go up to 4 cells, which is like the difficulty. Like once you beat a boss, you get another cell. And
okay.
You can add that cell to make the game more difficult.
And you get better prizes? You get
better loot, yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
Prizes.
You really got to appreciate that about the modding community. Because not everyone plays games all the same.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure. Has anybody ever played a vanilla Skyrim run? Like 100% no mods?
I think I attempted it.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
I never used mods when I played it.
You never used a mod?
Bobby's ever? never been much of a modder, except for like way back in the day, right?
Yeah, because I've said this many times before. You got to be really into a game to get to the point where you feel like you need to modify it to get more out of it.
What about like a quality of life mod?
Maybe I'm using that with Knights of the Old Republic and all these old games that I play. I use widescreen fixes and texture.
Oh, yeah, packs.
All those mods. I use those. But Skyrim, I just played that vanilla every single time that I played it.
Yeah, dude, you can take that game from it's already a really good game. Mm-hmm. You could just customize it and make it exactly what you want. Like you said, it's less about playing the game and beating the game and more about living in the world. You can make that world even more beautiful and however you want it.
I understand playing vanilla playthroughs, especially along first release, because mods just aren't really reliable or even available at that point. And if you're jumping on the bandwagon early and playing vanilla and then coming back to it with mods gives you a whole new experience. So it's almost like playing it twice.
That's the thing, though. It's like so many games are out there. Who's even beating games this way, let alone going back and to
I'm
going to
keep my hands down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely not me.
That was Chad's big thing. He was like, no, you got to play the way developers intended, man.
Did we know when Vanilla WoW is coming out?
Soonish. I heard more not things soon. About it.
Because I have not heard anything about this.
No, they announced it at BlizzCon last year. That was almost a year ago. And they pretty much said, don't expect it anytime soon.
Considering how many new people are, not new, but returning players are coming back to WoW now, it's almost going to feel like vanilla anyways, grinding from 0 to what's the level cap?
Why are they coming back now? I'm only asking because I feel like their last expansion didn't feel like it has as much heat as this one. I feel like a lot of people are going back.
I feel like maybe
the last one was huge.
The market itself and what type of games aren't drawing people to play them. Right now, I feel like the new games are coming out, but we're kind of in a lull in regards to what kind of mainstream outside of Fortnite games that everybody's jumping the bandwagon on. So I feel like considering what's not, like, everyone's kind of getting over PUBG. I'm kind of over Battle Royale, to be honest.
Yeah.
So
MMO?
And returning to an MMO does seem a little bit more appealing than doing anything else.
Bobby, you're going to be playing for sure, right?
Yeah. Already have. We'll talk about that later.
All right. Let's move on. Foreshadowing.
Keyforge. I don't know anything about this. I think someone else is going to have to take the reins.
That's
here.
All in me.
I have no idea. No, I'm kidding. So I guess the creator of Magic the Gathering has been busy because he's working on Artifact and also KeyGen. KeyGen is coming out. KeyForge, sorry.
Yeah.
KeyGen. I haven't been using anything like that. KeyForge is a completely new take on card games. You don't collect packs. There's no packs. You don't collect cards. you collect.
You don't collect coal.
You collect.
Why did you laugh? That was so bad.
It was because it's my kind of joke. Yeah. You collect decks, and apparently there's billions of combinations. So I guess you somehow get a deck, and you can't modify it after you get it, which is a lot of, for me, the deck building is
what card games are about. Yeah.
15-second commercial. Unbelievable.
15-second unskippable. Well,
I can skip it in 2, 1. All right.
All right. So what was I talking about? Bobby, you threw me off with your advertising.
But that's a cantankerous comment.
So the way I understand this game, you buy it, or maybe it's free. I don't know. Somehow you get decks.
Upon ownership of this game.
And then that's it. You're stuck with this deck. And unless you want to move on to another deck. And the first...
You can't break up with this deck. It's yours forever.
Yes. And the first deck that everybody's going to have has 38 billion combinations. So the chances of somebody having the same deck is pretty rare.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool.
I like that. It makes every single deck unique. And with TCGs, and a huge reason to why I'm kind of turned off by them is because you have to follow the meta.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I don't have the time to learn the meta. And so it's hard for me to enjoy it. So something like this might be really cool.
Yeah, I think so too.
What's the release date on?
End of 2018. So
not that long.
Not
I mean,
long.
It's a card game. So I figured it wouldn't take too long in development to come out.
We'll see. I'm definitely going to jump on this. And I will report back later.
I forgot Tom Marks works for IGN now.
Yeah. Him and his bow ties.
Is he still rocking bow ties?
Probably.
All right. Last one we got on here. Doom Eternal. So they announced this at E3. And they have said that in a week from now, they're going to have a gameplay trailer for it. So that's exciting.
At QuakeCon,
I'm excited. No, I don't think they announced it. Oh, wait. Yeah,
no,
it would be at QuakeCon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So QuakeCon's next
August
week.
August 10th.
We're going to get a lot of Bethesda stuff next week.
Mm-hmm.
So more footage of Eternal is not high on my list of stuff. I mean, I already know it's going to be awesome. Yeah. This is bought.
For sure.
It's
for
already
sure.
bought, right?
Yeah, definitely.
That actually works out really well for them because they have... They've got E3 in June, which is a great time to
whip your dick out
to give them the teaser
and crush
trailer,
all the
like,
other competition.
Just to announce it,
they were just like whap whap, fuck you, whap whap.
And then they got just months down the line, they have QuakeCon, which is great for keynotes and showing off gameplay and all that stuff, playable demos.
I'm surprised you weren't more into going this year, Bobby, because I thought we were gonna go.
Nah, I mean, QuakeCon is great, but at least from the one time I was there, the feeling that I got out of it was it's really all about the LAN. Like, that's the biggest part of it.
Okay.
The exhibition area is like, oh man, it's so small. I'm trying to think of what I could compare it to.
But that's fine. But why wouldn't you do the LAN?
Because I'd need to bring a computer.
And what's wrong with that?
I'm not going to fly my computer all the way to
Texas.
Why
wouldn't you?
His large tower.
That's kind of a pain in the ass.
I think,
driving it.
I have never once in my life checked baggage. I just always do carry on.
Really?
That's the best way to fly.
You travel really light.
Yeah.
I saw this the other day. So this guy has this $30,000 or $40,000 cello. And so he bought his cello a seat on the airplane. And they kicked him off the flight. It was like American Airlines or
what?
Something. Yeah. He had two tickets. One for him, one, like, it seemed completely fine.
Yeah.
And he got kicked off the flight. I don't know. I think it's
a lot of people do that for their pets too.
Yeah.
I think
it's ridiculous.
Airlines are crazy, dude.
The things that, like, I get on my feed, I'm like, is this really news? What did I see the other day? It was like, gas station attendant tries to steal credit card. I'm like, is that how safe our world is? Is like, this is on my feed? You know what I mean?
Especially when you start scrolling down, because you use the same news that I do on your phone. You just scroll down the Google
feed. Well, I used
to.
Now I'm on Reddit.
Oh, okay.
This is the future, Bobby.
let's
not go calling Reddit news.
How about this? It was the future of us. like a decade ago.
No, I use both actually.
I do the same thing with Imgur. Like I go on there and I'll just see what's on the most upvoted and stuff like that. But I don't know. Reddit, I've never really got into that. All right. I guess that's it for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. It looks like we've been playing a lot.
Do we have Call of Duty on there again?
Yep, because I beat it.
Okay.
Cheat.
Which one?
Oh, sorry. Let's go Call of Duty. I was going to say cheat. Talked about some video games. It's been like 2 months since you played something.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'll but make no, it let's go ahead and talk about the classic.
I'll make it brief. Yeah, the
original.
Number one, numero uno, which, like I said last week, surprisingly only came out in 2003. So I beat it. It took me 4 hours. This game was super quick, and I think it was intended to be longer, but just it's...
You're just so good.
Well, not just that, but it's just everything. Like, if you've been playing video games a long time, like, you know everything that's coming in this, and you can just race through it really quickly.
It's predictable.
So this is old hat now. Like, when it first came out, it probably would have been different, but now that you know all the tropes.
16 years ago when this came out, might have been a little more
It was
a little more new and fresh, but now nothing different about it.
Back this is a silly though. Question, maybe. Is the first Call of Duty, was it online as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's an interesting point, because after I beat the game, I loaded up the multiplayer just to see, you know, just to check it out. There were 45 servers with over 300 people still playing.
Really?
I believe
the original Call of Duty.
And you got squashed.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those games, it was just like almost one shot, one kill. And these people, if you're still playing Call of Duty 1, you are addicted to that game. Like,
yeah.
Those people are like knew every single angle and everything. So, yeah, I wasn't getting anywhere with that. But I was really surprised to see that there was still a community of people playing this game.
Crazy. Those numbers are crazy, dude. Yeah. I thought you were going to say there was going to be 50 people left.
Nah.
Damn.
Dude, there are people still playing.
So what's the next on the call?
300's kind
of
small.
What's next on your Call of Duty?
I don't know. Maybe I'll do two, just go chronological here, or I really want to do the Kevin Spacey one, or the one that was like maybe one of the newer ones. There's different Call of Duty series, right? Like there's the...
Modern Warfare.
The Modern Warfare, the World War II ones,
the
and then
Ops.
There's, yeah, Black Ops.
There's two Advanced Warfares now, right? Or just one?
No, there's like Advanced Warfare and something else Warfare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for another one.
Have you played Modern Warfare 1?
Yeah, the first one, yes. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first one I ever played. And yeah. I think that's the most popular one.
For me, that brought like shooters back into the scene for multiplayer. That's what brought me back in.
Yeah, that was a very popular game.
That was awesome.
And the single player was good. They've always had short campaigns.
I played that on Xbox.
Okay.
Yeah, I think most of these games are played on Xbox.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my experience with Call of Duty. Just, yeah. You know, it's still alive.
See, with me, I just never stop playing Counter-Strike or old games like that. So it doesn't surprise me, because games that I fell in love with still kind of have a community. Like the Left 4 Dead community, for instance, has a very prominent loyal
people are
community.
Still playing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I imagine 300 is really kind of small in my opinion.
I would say,
but it's surprising that there's,
I would say,
as long as
thousands
the servers
of people
are up,
playing with Left 4 Dead 2 still.
Yeah. As long as the servers are still up, I don't see why not.
Can we look that up, Bobby? Oh no, that's
look what up.
That
and you'd be surprised.
Now, right?
Even like the really shitty weird shooter games, like I think Dino D-Day had a decent amount of players when my little nephew, you never know. It could be a little kid. Or people who just have
a
really
takes a
copy.
Lot to kill a game.
There's so many different reasons why someone might have
Left 4 Dead
game 2. Plugged in.
I would say, so. I said it probably has thousands of players still. My guess is probably about 3,000.
Well, just speaking of Counter-Strike and me talking about games that I have been playing,
jeez,
I am back on the Counter-Strike. Whoa.
10,000
people still
playing now.
Playing right now.
Yeah,
right now.
So don't be surprised. 300
is
tiny.
Today's peak was 15,000.
Yeah. So lately I've been playing Counter-Strike. Tell me how many people are playing that right now.
So can I ask you about Left 4 Dead? Is there any progression in that game?
Yeah, per map?
Like, I mean, like a character progression.
No.
You always
everybody.
You've never played Left 4 Dead?
A long time ago. I never played the second one.
It's fun to imagine that there was a time when you didn't need
first.
That.
This is why I don't like many.
There's a lot of reasons you don't like me.
Wow.
This is my no, just kidding.
But isn't that weird? Okay, so that game only came out 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, but nobody even thought about that. Like, no progression. Now you have to have that, otherwise people stop playing your game. And like, it what did Chad call it? The tail of the
game? But they don't, though. Left 4 Dead, people are still playing it, and people played it for a super long time.
Yeah, because everyone played it back in the day, and a lot of people are going to stick with it regardless, and it's a really fun game.
It is a lot of fun.
But nowadays, if you were to make Left 4 Dead, there would have to be some sort of like systemic progression through it to keep people kind of hooked, you know, some sort of like tech
tree.
Loot
boxes.
Loot boxes, tech tree, upgrades.
You don't think that it would be a success if it came out today as is?
Absolutely not.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely not. It would be, but not as much as it was back then.
Oh,
literally,
yeah,
back then,
sure.
Everybody played Left 4 Dead, except me.
I think if they came out with
so weird. What were you, 10 back then, or what were you playing?
3, everybody would jump on it just for, I mean, the namesake of itself.
Co-op games were never really my thing.
What?
Co-op games? I'm not a big co-op fan.
There's Versus in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, there is. I do remember playing that a bit, but no, I'm just like not big into co-op games. And
I mean, Left 4 Dead also came out at a time where zombies were
at
the height of popular culture too. Like, it just hit so many marks. Like, everybody was into zombies, zombie movies, zombie games, like Walking Dead, comic books.
All right, well, let's talk about Counter-Strike and how CSGO has finally done this huge overhaul. It's called Panorama, and it is their new UI. When you load up the game now, it is beautiful. It almost looks like PUBG, where they have a character. They have a terrorist character.
Can you pull this up, Bobby?
Yeah. And everything's just clean. Some of the sounds are very new as well. And what I love about Counter-Strike, and the reason why I'm kind of getting back into it, is because I've been very busy. I have a new job now, so it's hard for me to fit in longer than an hour or 2 hours at
most. So this is the UI right here?
Yes, this is Panorama, and it is gorgeous. It's pretty slick, but it can be kind of buggy in some elements.
Seems like there's a lot on the screen.
There is a lot on the screen, and they hide.
What's that all the way on the right? What's all?
Those are all your friends.
Your Steam friends?
Because you play, you play Counter-Strike to play with your friends.
The old UI had a bunch of shit on it, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this is actually pretty clean, and I like it a lot. I definitely like the sound overhaul. It weirds me out, though, because when I'm playing the game, for instance, they changed the bomb site B, bomb noise. And when I heard it, I thought it was a car alarm. The beeping? I thought it was a car alarm.
As opposed
going
to
off.
A? It sounds different on A than B?
I think so. In Mirage, at least when I played it.
That makes sense. So I guess
so
you know
you
which
way
to... Yeah,
kinda,
I kind of like that.
Well, you can't really hear the other bomb. You can't hear the bomb if you're in the other bomb site. But it's I don't know 100%. I just noticed that in Mirage, B-bomb site, it was different. I thought it was a car alarm going off, but it was just the game. So
I'm guessing you didn't disarm this bomb.
I don't recall, but
I'm going to guess no.
Yeah, so I'm getting back into CSGO because every time I come back into CSGO, if you don't play for a while, you lose your rank. And when I get back into it, I'm always relearning all the things I knew at one point or I was confident, relearning my smokes, relearning just my overall muscle memory of the game and whatnot. And I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, because your first time back that you streamed, I was a little underwhelmed by your performance that night.
Which one? The Moonlighter or CSGO?
No, CSGO.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were
more on chat than you were on the game.
Yeah, and that's why most of the time when I stream, I try not to stream Counter-Strike because I like being a tryhard with Counter-Strike. But sometimes I'm just in the mood to play a game, so I'll play it on stream. But I won't do well if I am streaming and playing Counter-Strike.
Gotcha.
No matter what. So the new Panorama, also they came out with a new case and a whole new set of skins. It's called the Horizon case. I played a match right before I came to record the podcast and I actually got one of the Horizon cases. Apparently it sells for about $10 a case, but I opened it and I got myself a SNEC 9 instead of a Tech 9.
Okay.
And it's...
Is it worth much?
No, it's a blue gun. So it's no knife, but I can't complain. Anyways, definitely check it out. It's an overall visual upgrade, and it's
but
nice.
But not graphically, just the UI.
Just the UI.
Okay.
And so when you win, there's a lot more bass in the sounds. They kind of emphasize your experience, and then your rank is just huge and up on top. So it just, it's a little bit more rewarding. CS has always been rewarding to me, but with the new overhaul on graphics, it's, it seems a little bit more
rewarding. You can see what you've been done, or what you've done. You can see your accolades.
It's just, yeah. So it emphasizes skins and accolades, and then for, and then it's not just a overall lobby. It's smoother. It opens up more kind of like PUBG, I feel like. So I like it. It's clean.
Does it remind me and, of PUBG?
Yeah, the new UI does remind me of PUBG a lot, but it's slick. I like it. Check it out. Your main character holds your, I think, your most used weapon. I'm not sure, because mine had a terrorist with my Vulcan. It was holding my AK. So, and that's the gun I'm always using.
Maybe.
I don't know. I've only ever seen a terrorist character holding my Vulcan. I'll find out more why that is, though.
Minnie and I played Wayward Souls. After four runs, Minnie did the same that I did on a juiced up run that I had. Like, I've already worked on my warrior. Uh-huh. And he just picked a blank character that had nothing. And he got as far as I've been with my juiced up warrior on his first run. And I'm a little upset about that. But let's talk about what it is. This is a roguelike. This is a roguelike.
What else would it be?
Yeah. 16-bit graphics. I did not like their choice was the 8-bit sound. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, the sound is a little bit 8-bit, but the music is like...
The music's awesome.
Music is amazing. It's like,
but cool. How can you go with like really cool music and then have your attacks go bleep,
yeah,
bloop, bleep? Like, what the fuck? Where? Anyway, the 16-bit graphics are nice. They're not bad. It's fine to look at. They're not fantastic. They could have done more. We talked about this a little more before about how like there's 8 character classes and it says RPG. So we're expecting like a ton of story, I think. And I relate the story to like playing Street Fighter 2, like the original. You're just getting these panels of information and you might get 3 or 4 panels per character per level. So eventually, I think they're all going to intertwine to make it more interesting. But okay, it's very there. It is not like, don't expect like a hardcore RPG story like a Final Fantasy or something. It's very like, oh, I can't find my brother. And then the other one like kind of mentions a guy that's missing. You know, you can already see the beginnings of the intertwining. Literally don't give a shit.
Especially personally. If you keep dying at the beginning. I got to the first boss and I was done and I got like a little smidgen of a story.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, like, see, you got more than I did because I haven't got that far with the rogue.
Okay.
So you got to go like every time you progress with a different character, you get a little bit of that character story.
Okay.
And a weird thing was like, I thought this was interesting choice for them, to get to the second level of warrior upgrades. It says you have to spend 12 points. So I went to spend some on the wizard, the mage, and thought that that would apply to the warrior.
Okay.
I feel like that would... Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would like make you play more characters more, but no, it doesn't work that way. You have to spend
12 on the warrior?
On the warrior. Jeez. Before you can go to the next level.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and I thought it was just like maybe a poor design flaw. Anyway, the game's fun. It doesn't blow my hair back. I will continue to be playing it. It wouldn't be for the story. It would be to just to keep playing it. The attack is fine.
You should have said it doesn't blow my dick limp.
What?
I'm sorry. Random as fuck. But blow my hair back and then blow my dick limp. I think that just sounds better.
Sweet. But like, if you blew my dick limp, that's a bad thing, though.
After you finish.
Get it? You're on the next level, G. This game blew my dick limp. Let me tell you guys.
Gee, what the fuck?
Oh my god. So this game is $11.99. It's totally in early access. Yeah, it's
totally worth it.
Guess how many people are playing this game right now?
I guess you
haven't looked, right?
I already looked.
700.
No, it's gonna be more than that. I'm gonna
12.
You can't just keep throwing numbers out. You have to
500.
Those are the final guesses.
Really? I'm going with let's go 15.
100?
Yes.
12
ooh, people?
Wow. 12 people. This deserves a lot more than that.
No.
I feel like I've heard about this game.
You know what's hilarious? 300 people would rather play the first Call of Duty than the game that you're talking about. So,
how did you find this game?
I feel like I've heard about this game outside of this podcast. Like, I thought this was kind of a
thing.
Semi-popular game.
I guess not.
How did you find this game?
It's not a bad game. It deserves way more than 12 people.
Was it just on your feet or what?
No. Well, no, we fucking talked about it. Oh, yeah, it was on my feed because I get roguelikes on my feed. Okay. And then I brought it up on the podcast, and then Mayo bought it for me.
Oh, okay, cool.
Shout out to Mayo.
Mayo.
Nice.
And then he sent it to me, and then I played it, and then I'm giving you my my first couple of hours review.
Wow, definitely
like
worth
straw,
more
Amelia.
Than...
Can I have it?
What's that?
It's cute. Can I have your straw?
Stop taking things from me.
He literally came into the garage like, can I have this and that? Yeah. I want this.
Yeah. So as you guys know, I moved into my new place and I'm still settling in. There's so much more to do. I don't even have utensils in my kitchen.
No, obviously no straws.
No straws either. So I come in and Emilio has this humidifier out in his front door. I'm like, hey, Emilio, is that working? Can I have it?
Yeah.
And then I'm looking around the garage and I'm like, ooh, these baskets.
What are these?
Are you using this?
What are these?
What's the game? Telegories?
I've never heard of it.
It's a board game.
Is that based off of Scattergories?
I'm not sure.
Because Scattergories is my favorite.
You have Scattergories in your garage. I saw it.
Yeah, I need as many
and then,
of those as I can.
I forgot what it's... I don't know if it's Telegories or maybe I'm just combining the two names.
I can't believe I never thought about playing with you guys. We should play Scattergories.
Telestrations. I took that because I've played that once before. It's a lot of fun. So, so I am definitely inheriting a lot of things from
Bobby, get this thing back together. I get a lot of free shit. Oh, should we tell them about the vibrator?
Oh, my God. Yes.
You explain that. It.
Okay, so I come in to the garage. I'm looking at all the loot that I could potentially take from Ninja Loot from Amelia. And then there's this box with a black marker on it. It looks like crayon, not even permanent marker.
It's an old-ass box.
Old-ass box, and it says vibrator. I'm like, haha, who wrote
vibrator? Underneath, and this is in cursive, and then underneath it says good in cursive.
Oh, my God. Anyways, I'm like, vibrator, haha, this is a joke. Who wrote that? What's actually in the box? And then Amelia's like, no, it's a vibrator from the 1950s. And I open it up, and it's this huge brick. It looks like a fucking, it's bigger than a hammer.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, Amelia, I'm afraid to touch it. He's like, no, go ahead, pick it up. And I pick it up. And apparently the part that
the vibrator part.
Yeah. Is I looked at it and it was rubbed all the way down and I'm pretty sure it was crusty and I dropped that shit back in the box and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go wash my hands now.
Besides that little rubber part that was rubbed out. The thing kind of looks cool. Like it's a cool, like it's all silver and shit.
It like plugs into the wall.
Yeah, plugs into the wall.
We're doing a nosedive. I'm like trying to pull up on the handlebars of the plane here.
pull this back, Bobby.
Actually, let's just lean into this nosedive. Did you guys see this article? I saw it a couple years ago. They found a dildo from like the 13th century in Ireland. It was made out of ivory. And it had a hole in it where you could put a lock of your lover's hair.
What?
Look up this article. It is
what?
It is a medieval dildo. Yes.
Wow. A lock of your lover's hair?
And it was fucking huge.
That's awesome.
Anyway. All right. Video games. All right. I don't want to talk about WoW or No Man's Sky yet. Let's get through some of these other things.
All right. The Surge. Phil and Froggy, he gifted this to me after talking to you, Emilio. And
yeah.
So this is like...
Well, really quick. It came from the... it was on the Humble Bundle this month. And, you know, this time last year it was a $50 game.
Really?
So that's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, remember when this came out.
Yeah. And Chad and I both liked it. Minnie, I cherish your opinion, but I got to go make a drink.
Okay. So this is a kind of like a Dark Souls, but it's like post-apocalyptic, futuristic Dark Souls. It's
and you're a mech warrior, aren't you?
You're just a dude in a rig suit, and you get like you just get more armor that attaches to your rig suit. It's a little bit of a story is that the atmosphere got drained. It's a little in the future, and there's this company that is working to restore the atmosphere. You get once you get a little bit into the story, it talks about like the shady part of this company and how they may have like sacrificed some people as test subjects to get their technology working right.
Might have traded in some human organs.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. But you were like a test subject. You volunteered for it because you think it was going to be like some great new development. But it said they experimented on you and then they basically threw you away to die. And then you just kind of like work your way out of this the scrap.
No proper way to recycle cyborgs?
I guess not. Yeah, okay. They just toss you to the recycle center and have you work it out yourself. It's a $40 game now, but it's
still very pricey. Is it worth the price?
I don't know. I can't say yet. I've only got through like the first part of the game. I got to, I guess, through the first tutorial level.
It's strictly a couple hours single on player too, correct? Yeah. So reviews on Steam says it's mostly positive. And from what I recall with our first conversation we had over this game, it did look very promising. And for me, it was appealing. I would probably enjoy this game, but I don't have that money to throw around. So
yeah, I can't say anything negative about this game. They do have a cool feature where you could target specific body parts. So depending on the enemy, sometimes they won't like your torso, legs, arms, and head. And if they don't have that,
and you use you reuse those weapons and whatnot.
Yeah, you can like cut off their arm, and then if you kill them by cutting off their arm, then they have a better chance of dropping something for the arm, maybe a piece of armor, maybe the weapon. Same thing with any other body part.
Yeah,
if you're hitting their, if you're like hitting a piece of their armor and that exposes the fleshy part of them, then you like
their weak point.
Yeah, at the weak point, you get energy, and with this energy, you can do like what's the word I'm looking for? Like finisher moves.
Oh, that's really cool.
So that's how you like cut off a piece of their body.
Even though I said the reviews said mostly positive, while Bobby was scrolling down, I did read one bad review, and it basically said, this is a clone of Dark Souls, but worse in every single way.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I was huge in the Dark Souls.
Yeah, so maybe it wants to be Dark Souls, and it just barely makes the marker. On that
graphics
one, but
look good.
Yeah, the graphics are good.
Since you never really played Dark Souls, I guess that's going to be hard to cross compare.
Yeah. Now,
no Left 4 Dead, no Dark Souls.
When I talk about these games to other
Bobby,
people,
we might have to switch chairs.
What's wrong with your chair?
It's too close to Minnie.
What?
He doesn't play any of the games that like I absolutely love and adore. So it's like we have opposite taste in video games. It's weird.
So the proximity is affecting our chemistry. Is that what it is?
What chemistry?
Obviously, I mean, there's something no either positive or negative chemistry, but the proximity to between us is affecting it.
Is no, it's just frustrating. It's like I kind of want to like punch you in the face.
Okay,
and that's the problem. Okay. I'm kidding. We're too close. That it's doable. Okay. And I'm kidding.
If we had to split up the table into sides about who likes what games, I think Emilio and I would be on one side. I don't know. I feel like everybody on here has enough different tastes in games. I was thinking about that the other day because throughout the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of times where someone hasn't been on the podcast, and you kind of feel the gap because a game will come up and we're like, oh, that's totally like a game that Minnie could talk about. And like, we're all kind of clueless about it. So I think we do a good job of covering all the bases here of those. But if you had to guess, like, which person on the podcast has the most similar taste to you, which one would you guess?
For me?
Yeah.
You. Because you like MOBAs. You like first-person shooters. You play a lot of the single-player first-person
shooters. But no Counter-Strike.
Shooters.
Like, I'm a hard no on Counter-Strike,
I think though. Nobody else plays Counter-Strike. I think I'm the only one, even when Chad was on.
415,000 people, according to SteamCharts.com.
On the podcast. So, yeah,
I played Counter-Strike once. Maybe twice.
I'm just surprised because you're the controller guy and you haven't played Dark Souls. It's almost painful to hear that's like, shit like that.
No, the thing I really don't like about Dark Souls is like the unforgiving punishment. It's like they'll like kill you and it's like, how the fuck was I supposed to know that was going to happen?
That's how you learn.
No, that's what I don't like is like you have to die to learn. Like this game, there is like there's no bolt that's just going to follow you from the sky for absolutely no reason. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of unfair stuff about Dark Souls.
That's what really turned me off to Dark Souls, because although I like really punching games where you die because you did something wrong, not because the game tricked you into doing something.
But roguelikes are like that, in my opinion. I feel like when you go through these roguelikes, you don't know the pattern of the enemy. So yeah, what happens? You die.
No, yeah.
And then it's, of course, you only reset to maybe 10 feet back, but it's the same exact concept. Yeah. It's a lot less punishing in the sense of your reset meter, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's still...
same thing.
You die because... of you don't know the patterns, but it's not just die because of you. You're not
I think Dark Souls really takes it to the next level, because I remember when I was playing through the first Dark Souls and I had a guide and he would kind of tell me these things, and sometimes he'd let me walk into them, but they really set you up to where you think, where you have check every corner, every step you take.
And it's not even enemies. It's sometimes it's just an environment. For every single Dark Souls that you play, they just throw you at the boss and you're meant to die. Yeah. You're meant to die first.
And this one has that too, but there is like no environmental deaths that I've come across yet.
Well, you haven't played much Dark Souls. Well, do you think this game is easier than Dark Souls?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think it looks better too, but I don't know. The newest Dark Souls games, I guess those look better. And it's a thematic thing too. Like if you're more into like a sci-fi look, then you might enjoy this more.
But this thing has like plasma weapons and lightning axes. It's really aesthetically pleasing for me.
It does seem cool though. So,
The Surge.
Yeah, good game. Definitely can't say it's worth $40 because I just haven't had enough time to play recently. But it's an awesome game. I have no gripes about it.
Awesome.
Remember that soda, Surge?
Yes.
Oh, Surge.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the worse than Mountain Dew Surge discontinued because why?
I don't know. Maybe too much caffeine.
Probably.
I can't remember if it was good or not. Like, who knows when you're young? But I remember just their whole ad campaign was just like this 90s
to the extreme. Yeah.
Just like the commercials were like kids yelling and then running across, skateboarding, like, you know, just all this.
Oh, I actually had a Surge t-shirt growing up. I think I was in some type of summer program and like they gave us Surge t-shirts. Like the Surge sponsored our summer program or something.
Wow, I don't remember this at all.
You don't remember Surge? Are you kidding?
It just looks like it was developed by Nickelodeon.
Good thing you're over there, Amelia, because I can't hit you from here.
Is it a proto energy drink?
It was a 90s energy drink.
Dude would yell Surge and then they'd all run at it. I totally remember this.
Surge.
It was like Mountain Dew 2.0.
Let's get a little audio here.
Okay. Just a little. I could have shot this commercial for about $10.
They're climbing over couches to reach the bottle of Surge.
Yeah, who lined up these couches?
It's like couches in the middle of an alley, and they're just running and jumping over it.
Yeah.
Surge.
Obviously, the guy that was running around the couches would have won.
Right?
That's true.
Feed the rush.
It wasn't a bad commercial, honestly. I'm like, shit, I want to try. Ooh, new hot ones with the guy from the...
I don't know. I didn't recognize him.
That guy, he's the Wild America or something.
Okay.
He's the guy who gets stung by the most painful things in the world.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, you got to see his videos, dude. He takes on the something wasp, the worst one, bullet ants, all of it. He gets bit by everything, dude.
I got bit by a fire ant on the inside of my wrist a couple weeks ago, and it hurt for like 4 hours, dude.
Ouch.
Which is like one fucking fire ant.
Big red one, right?
Red and black.
Yeah. Damn. Hmm.
All right, what else are we going to talk about? Chi, I saw you were streaming some BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Have you played this game before? Are you replaying it, or is this your first time?
I played BioShock, the first one, pretty far through. The second one pretty far through. But I've never beaten the BioShock games, but I already know the endings because people love to spoil things. And now I'm playing BioShock Infinite, and I'm loving it thus far.
Yeah. Best BioShock, right?
It's the best BioShock.
Visually and story-wise, yes. So BioShock Infinite is a prequel to the BioShock series, and you play as Booker DeWitt, and you are on a mission, and you head to, I forgot the name of the city in the sky. But
Columbus.
You head up to Columbus to find Elizabeth. Yes,
that's what I was saying.
Look, the lighthouse. The lighthouse is like...
Get to the ending and then let me know if it's a...
Are you sure?
Take it to the ending.
Oh, okay. Well, it feels like a prequel.
Either way, it doesn't matter because they're not intertwined, right?
get to the ending.
Get to the end.
I mean, okay. I've been there a million times.
Well, we're telling you, we don't want to spoil anything.
Well, anyways, I'm having a lot of fun with the game. It's very, to be honest, it does touch on some major social issues regarding race and, you know, just race in general.
Yeah.
It's really hard playing this game. I think there was one point in the game where I'm in a museum and it basically it highlights and targets Black people, Asian people, Indians, Native Americans, sorry. And there was one point where I'm like, wow, this, like, I'm so uncomfortable. Like, how could anyone play this game? You know, especially if you were white, you know, because it's like, it just makes you feel bad. And even just walking past somebody and the way they're acting and, you know, it's eye opening, really.
Have you gotten to the point where, like, there's a certain point where you get kind of behind the scenes and you're with the workers?
Yeah. So right now I just encountered Daisy with the Vox Populi or something.
I feel like you're pretty far, 60% maybe.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. I put it on the hardest difficulty, and
you kind of have to.
My yeah. biggest 1999
challenge mode or the hardest hard difficulty?
I'm not sure. Maybe
I think you have
hard.
To beat it before you get 1999.
Yeah, that's true.
And the thing with me though is the sensitivity. It's been a struggle getting it just right. Right now, I'm playing at a lower. Basically, it's too low to do well with scoped rifles. Oh. And then if I turn it,
that's why you have on fly switching.
No, I do that with DPI. I have a DPI
on
switch.
Your mouse.
Yeah, but then it's not really on the fly, because once you switch your DPI, you have to switch it over five times again until you're back at your normal DPI setting.
What?
So I kind of just have to
cycle
play
through?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cycle through. Mine has it up and down. Yeah.
Oh no, I don't have that. And then so with that, I have to kind of change my playstyle. But regardless, I think I have it fairly right.
Dialed in.
Yeah, but I do
a
find
happy
my
medium.
Yeah, but I do like the game a lot. I recommend it to anybody who has not played BioShock and wants to start playing a BioShock game. It's definitely, I would say, the best in its class. And then also, if you haven't had a reason to get back into BioShock, this is great.
It's so pretty.
There's a lot of people who didn't like this one because they liked the other BioShocks, but
they
I feel like this
themselves,
one,
man.
This one had the best gunplay out of all the BioShocks.
One thing I don't like about it, though, is it kind of limits what type of weapon you can use because of the scarcity of the ammo.
Mm.
But I'm actually at that point where Elizabeth is a lot more helpful, so I can hold on to the weapon of choice, and then she'll randomly give me
ammo. That has to do with the hard mode.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, you get less ammo when you're on hard mode a lot of time.
A lot more scarce.
Elizabeth is awesome, man. She gives you money, and she gives you weapons, she gives you ammo, and
she's
you don't
pretty.
Have to worry about
she's
her.
She's good, you know, she's easy on the eyes. So, but no, I'm enjoying the story and everything else, so I can't wait to beat it.
It's good.
I'm going to beat it because I'm enjoying
good.
I'm enjoying it a lot.
For sure.
It's a
great game.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending.
Can we maybe? It'd be awesome if you made a list of 12 games that you're going to beat this year.
Oh man, I'm not going to set up any expectations. That's where you'll become disappointed.
It just struck a note for when you were saying like how maybe like old BioShock players didn't like this one because it wasn't the same.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of the Star Wars people complaining. I am so sick of it, dude. Just like, I got to get off Reddit, like the Star Wars subreddit.
Yeah.
They're just like all, not all, but there's like a vocal minority, maybe majority, that just shit on The Last Jedi so much to the point where they're trying to get it remade like officially by.
Oh, I heard about that.
And it has traction. Like even Rian Johnson said that he'd be into it. Like doing it again.
That's ridiculous, man.
Oh, dude.
Did he? I thought that was kind of a joke.
Oh, was it? Maybe. I didn't get on the joke part. I only read the first part of it.
Yeah, there's
that's
a lot of...
That's ridiculous.
That's a whole story there.
Bobby, is... just give me one word answer. Is The Last Jedi a bad movie?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
It is not. All right.
We talked about... A lot
Bobby,
about Star
I'd love
Wars,
to
man.
Hear about your gaming experiences. You've been giving a lot. Sorry.
There has to be.
Yeah.
We're in the zeitgeist. Sorry. Gee, what's up?
Nothing. I just want to hear Bobby talk about video games.
Oh, cool. Me too.
All right. We're going to talk. Let's talk about World of Warcraft. I'll get that out of the way.
Is that new?
Yeah. Just came out.
Cool.
It's in beta, early access. No, new expansion coming out. It is looking good.
What's the name of the new expansion?
Battle for Azeroth.
Were you BFA. Part of it?
That basically means battle for the whole world, right? Because Azeroth is where they're at, right?
There's so many damn areas.
I think so. I think, yeah, Azeroth, no, is,
Azeroth
the world.
Is the planet.
Yeah, but then there's like the Outlands, and then there's like different timelines,
all those portals,
time travel. And, like, who the fuck knows?
Mm-hmm. Were you part of the beta Warcraft, Bobby?
No, the original Warcraft?
Yeah.
No, I didn't play Warcraft.
World of Warcraft, I mean.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. I didn't play that until like 2007.
Okay. I can't even, like, knowing who you are now, Bobby, like, and with the kind of gamer you are, I cannot see you being like a hardcore MMOer. Like, I don't see it. I don't see us grouping up. I don't know. I you'd be an awesome healer for sure.
I usually played tank, but healing is actually what I've done the least in WoW.
I can see Bobby being a tank.
What's really quickly? What's everybody's class? MMO class, real quick.
Paladin.
Let's do it again.
DPS, mage, clothy, and then alt healing.
My main is usually healer.
Oh.
I always went anything that has a pet, so usually hunter.
Hunter, I can see that too. This is going to sound really weird, but I was thinking about that Black Mirror episode. It's the newest season, episode one, where the dude is the captain of some starship from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. Great
and
episode.
I was like, who would be who in if we were in, what's the, in Star a Voyager? Trek? Yeah, if we were in...
Let's say the Enterprise. More people.
Yeah, the Enterprise. Sorry, I don't know. So I was like, you know what? Bobby would be the captain. Bobby would be the captain.
No, he wouldn't be captain. He
would
totally
be captain.
He'd be Spock.
He'd be Spock.
He would be Spock. You're right.
Yeah. I'd be making out with green chicks.
You'd be more like a Han Solo, but I don't really know Star Trek that well, so I don't know who the characters are.
Especially not Han Solo.
I feel like Bobby would be like the captain because he's captain of the podcast.
He'd be Spock, which is smarter than the captain.
You have all the persona, you know?
Maybe number two. You notice when number two sits in the captain's chair, he's always got the lean.
Yeah.
And every time you
say, damn, it feels good to be in the seat. Oh, I just read this on Reddit, Bobby. Picard is coming back.
Yeah. I read that on Imgur.
All right.
I saw a picture on Imgur that had words on it that said that. Because that's how they communicate.
Yeah.
So World of Warcraft, they're making some big changes. Remember when I talked about that documentary video, recap video, whatever you want to call it, where they went through the history of Warcraft and all the changes that were made in it?
That's really
It's just crazy how many evolutional stages this game has had. And they continue to do that. The game is changing. They're really downplaying crafting because people haven't been doing that very much lately.
Yeah, you can go fuck itself. I hate crafting.
Yeah, nobody likes crafting.
You know what's funny?
Except for Chad. Loves it. Literally, I would go be in the forest fighting, and I would send him all my mats, and he'd be like, this is fun.
I like crafting because it's where I had the upper hand. I felt like when I was playing TBC, I was just talking with one of my friends who we were on the same WoW server way back when, but we didn't really know each other, but he knew me. He knew that I was a mage in the server because I was constantly spamming general chat with my enchantments. Yeah. Selling enchantments. And I'm like, I remember you. I bet you bought something from me. He's like, you know what? That sounds right.
Yeah.
So crafting was fun because it opened up another level of addiction. So if, you know, you have to do certain raids and whatnot and of course get lucky and get the drop rate for an item. So
I watch this trailer. This seems like an awesome trailer.
They've been releasing cinematics.
If they're pulling away from crafting, does that mean they're making it even more casual?
I mean, I don't know. Nobody does crafting really anymore. People just do it just to level up the skill, just to get to the end where you can actually make good stuff and hopefully get rare stuff. But a lot of people just don't even do it. First aid in particular, putting that in with tailoring now, and it's not its own class by itself. There's also no restrictions. Like if you mine things, you can do it in the level one area or you can do it anywhere. It doesn't matter. There's no like, this is too high level for you to mine. So they got rid of that, but we're in this pre-patch stage. So it's coming out on the 20th and everyone's getting ready for that. And it kind of feels a new expansion is coming out. What do you even do? They've got this little area and this quest line that you can do to kind of prepare you for the new expansion. It's in Darkshore, the starting by the starting area for the Night Elves. And you just run these dailies. So there's about four or five quests. They give you really good armor, and that kind of gears you up in preparation for the expansion. It took me a while to figure that out. It's really hard to figure some of this stuff out if you don't have people there to explain it to you. Even if you like try to look it up. I kept looking up, like, what do I do pre-patch? Like, what the fuck am I supposed to be doing right now? And everything was just like, well, they're getting rid of all this, so you're going to want to, if you want to get this title or if you want to get this achievement, then this is what you got to do. And I don't care about any of that. I just, you know, want to make sure that I'm ready to segue myself into the next expansion. But I don't know what I'm going to be doing PvP or PvE. I'm going to be playing a Rhett Paladin. So many people, I was like, I'm playing an Alliance character this time, and so many people were disappointed in that. I found out I played Horde last time. I really don't care. They're playing up the whole Horde versus Alliance thing in this new expansion. Like, that's a big part of
it. You can be a Horde Paladin now, right?
Okay. Yeah, and I do have a Tauren Paladin. Yeah, and they have Blood Elf,
too. Oh, do they open up Paladin and a Torrent?
I think anybody can be anything now.
Really?
No.
Oh.
No?
No, they've loosened it up quite a bit, but no, not everyone can be everything. Yeah. So, I don't know. The last time I played, I was really surprised the last time I played WoW last year during the expansion. It seemed like there were more Horde players than there were Alliance players.
I almost feel like that's...
I'm sorry, other way around. More Alliance players. And... it seemed like they were always winning the PvP battlegrounds. They were always, and I was playing on a PvP server, so it, it made things very difficult. When I originally played WoW back in 2007, like, the cool thing to do was play Horde. Everybody was playing Horde. So I don't know. It just goes back and forth, I suppose.
Yeah. In vanilla, I was Alliance, and then in TBC, I was Horde. So.
Yeah.
Well, did you play WoW?
Not very much. Yeah. I played for like 6 months. That was my life for 6 months, so I don't want to talk about it. That was a dark time in my life.
How about you, Amelia? Did you
much? Yeah, I played a lot.
Played it a lot?
Yeah. Too much.
It just seems... It really feels a little grindy to me, just doing all this stuff. Aside from doing the daily quests, that was another shift in WoW. I remember when there were no daily quests, and that was something they implemented to kind of pace players. Like, you can do these five quests, and that's, like, really the most progression. Like, the best thing you can do with your time is grind the new gear. So you have these five quests, but once you do it, you got to wait a whole day for that to reset. So what do you do in between?
That's
what do you do?
Dailies help endgame players because it just gave you motive it gave you motive to grind certain tokens or whatnot in order to unlock different gear and et cetera. I like dailies a lot.
Yeah, and dailies
are fun. Of course, like, increase your rep and everything else. Oh, God, I remember all that grind. This is why it's hard for me to get back into WoW, because I'm kind of a perfectionist in a lot of different categories in my life. So if I can optimize in something, I probably will. So I am fearful of if I get back
into
WoW.
Stepping back in, yeah.
I'm going to want to, you know, maximize my experience with it. And
it's a very different game.
That means time sync.
Like, yeah. I've gone, this is the second time I've gone back to it, and it's so different every time I play it. And, you know, even though, like, I want to binge this game, I feel like the daily quest put a stop to that almost. There's really no point in doing this, but I've been doing the whole Pokemon battle pet thing, like running around doing that shit.
What is that?
You get like a Pokemon.
Okay.
You remember how you used to get pets and they would just follow you around? Well, now these pets, you can actually do... It's just Pokemon.
Okay.
That's all it is. It's like you capture them, you level them up, they get abilities, you fight other ones with it. It's this minigame that they've included. I've been doing that and then just like farming a bunch of resources and selling it in the auction house. But...
Are you having fun? Why are you doing these things?
Just because WoW is... It's just one of those games where I can just be very comfortable in and just play it. And it's never a bad time. Yeah. And it's not like super exciting or like, oh my God, I got to play this. But it's just like something to do. You know, it's just a comfortable spot to be in.
Everyone I know that I usually play video games with is back on WoW. It's weird.
Well, once the expansion comes out, then I'll be doing stuff.
That's the only reason I was saying that this one feels like it has more oomph to it. I feel like more people are going back this time than the last one.
No, dude, the last one was huge. Do you guys remember? We had this whole conversation time.
Yeah.
Like, everybody came back to it. Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like they're... I'd love to see the numbers, but I feel like they're doing very well with WoW.
how many years before the cinematics that we're looking at are in-game graphics, Bobby, by your estimation, instead of just being cinematics, you know, when it looks this good?
Next series,
you got to think with WoW, like, it's not just about having amazing graphics. It's about allowing people to do what they want. Anything.
It's going to be live action. The graphics going to be so good. It's going to be live action.
Yeah. Like, you want people on a shitty laptop to be able to play World of Warcraft.
Damn.
Of course you do.
You want that surface area to be as wide as possible.
Just wait till we get our house computers, Bobby.
I still don't even know what that is.
It's a central computer for your house that does everything.
Yes.
Okay. And so it's like how? 9,000.
Anything that allows you to play games to makes ice.
Yes.
You mean Alexa?
That's the proto house computer. Uh-huh. Anyway, let's go.
I see so many issues with that.
All right.
Big brother, man. He's coming.
Well, not those kind of issues. Just like that shit not working half the time. All right. Let's talk about No Man's Sky.
Let's get into it.
Oh, boy.
There's a lot to be said.
Speaking of games with nothing but a returning base, No Man's Sky.
Yeah, let's talk about grinding. Holy shit.
So we talked about last week how it's back with a vengeance. They came out with a... expansion called Next. Not an expansion, sorry. An update called Next. So it's No Man's Sky Next. And it's a hell of a lot better. I mean, it's so much better. This is the game that we were promised originally. There's still, you know, there's things that are buggy. But you can play multiplayer now. Everybody gets together. From time to time, it'll tell you your friend is here or a resource is there, and it's not actually there. So there's some, like, clipping issues and stuff like that, but it is fucking gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of time in this, but one of my favorite takeaways from this is Bobby saying that, hey, aren't we just chopping down trees like in Rust? But now they're space trees. And essentially, yes. Essentially, that is what's going on.
It's not literally chopping down trees. It's the metaphor,
right.
Idea of chopping down trees. It's like chopping down trees in a crafting survival open world survival game is just you walking up to something, holding down the mouse button until it disappears and goes in your inventory. And that's all this game is, just you walking up to things and holding down your mouse button.
But they've taken that to the nth degree. This is like...
If you like holding down mouse buttons...
scavenging is the main purpose behind this game.
There's mining, also big scavenging, exploration.
Crafting and exploration.
And they have a quest line.
And you only really build on
your... line to this, so there's
your
actually...
Your spaceship, correct?
What?
You only build on your spaceship. There's no bases.
No, you build bases.
No, you build whatever you want.
Oh.
This is all voxel-based. You can make anything. Anything you can think of. It's like Minecraft-y. But now you can fly wherever you want. And the weirdest thing about this game, and it's hard to wrap your head around this
whole... Is there PvP?
I don't know.
I don't think
so. I can shoot Bobby. But Bobby had to come to my game. So I would like have to invite him over for some laser blasts, I guess. I don't think you run into random
co-op.
People.
Yeah, it's really
co-op.
Oh,
it's co-op. Okay.
But the co-op is weird. I feel like we had four people playing, and everybody was just doing their own shit.
Yeah, we barely talked to each other.
Yeah, but you are busy. You're a busy little bee. Like, this is, you got, sometimes it's like, oh, my cell phone's out of charge. Oh, I need electricity, which comes from gray rocks, which come from blue rocks, which come from red rocks. Unfortunately, I don't have any of those. Mm-hmm. So I have to get this, just to charge my cell phone so I could use it again. And so there's no cell phones. I'm just going to make an example.
Mm-hmm.
Every device in this uses some sort of energy. And also every planet seems to have this hostile environment. So you're constantly having to put resources into your life support. So you're always having to gather stuff to continue moving on and doing things.
Always something to do.
Yeah.
And I think all of that something to do is feeding your progression. It's like, I want to advance in this game, but I cannot advance in this game unless everything's all charged up. So I'm going to be running around, charging everything up so I can progress in this game. But it doesn't...
But there's a quest line.
Yeah, there's a quest line. But you can't do that unless everything's all charged up, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's a lot of little tiny work. I wouldn't call it micromanaging. It's like managing. There's a lot of management to be done so that you can progress in the game.
It kind of reminds me of the slowly draining bars in The Sims.
It's never played The Sims, so
it is kind of like that. It feels like that. It feels like you're constantly like, okay, now I got to address this problem. Yeah. Now I got to do this, and then at the same time, if you want to,
like,
continue,
you can't get through a day without making sure your Sim pisses, or else they will piss yourself.
And then what happens?
They'll piss themselves and embarrass themselves.
And then what happens then?
And then if they piss themselves, their hygiene meter goes all the way down. Uh-huh. So it's like what's the effect? Domino effect. Mm-hmm.
It's all downhill from there.
And then you just throw them in the pool and take out the ladder.
And they stay indoors.
You don't have to deal with it anymore.
Work, and then they lose money.
I'll be right back.
But I feel like there's a few things happening in this game. Like, on one hand, it's got this whole exploration, crafting thing, base building is a part of it. And then on the other hand, there's this quest that you need to do, and that has you constantly...
Not need to.
I think you do. It really pushes you towards doing that, because part of the quest is get this type of rocket fuel and now you can go to other planets. Okay, get the hyperdrive working. Now you can go to different systems.
Galaxy or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so each step in the quest kind of opens you up to a new part of this game. I don't think I've gotten very far in it, because I haven't even gotten to the point where you get the freighter. What I would love to do in this game is just like have something for me and a few other people to do. Like, we got this big space mission that requires us to group together and
combine on a freighter, maybe.
Yeah, on a freighter, and then like go accomplish this task. But I don't know if it has that. It feels very isolating playing co-op. It definitely feels like that was an afterthought and kind of pushed into this game based on demand.
Sure. I'll agree with that, but we're coming off negative, and I don't feel negative towards this game.
I was about to.
I do. I want my $30 back.
Where's the redeeming quality in this?
You really want your $30 back?
If I was eligible for a refund, I probably would, because I don't think I'll ever play this game. I'm glad that I bought it. I'm glad I spent 7 hours in it, and I'm glad that I've played enough of the game to kind of, you know, be able to talk about it. But it's just, I don't like crafting survival games. I like Subnautica, and that's about it. But Subnautica, you know.
But you're on one planet with one ocean, as opposed to like infinite possibilities.
Infinite possibility. This one's a green planet. This one's a white planet with snow on it. I mean, infinite possibilities, and they're all kind of generally the same. Huh. It's the same thing. I go to a new exciting area and then click on a rock. That gives me the same mineral resource that I got on the other planet.
I disagree. I like the diversity between the planets. The creatures are different a lot of the time. Not crazy different, but they are like weird. You'll see some weird things. If you find something that nobody else is finding, you get to name it. So there's about 3 or 4 creatures out there called Fuck You Mini 1 through 4. Watch out for those. And that'll be persistent throughout not just my game, but other people's games. So if they run into that same creature, then they'll see that somebody named Minnie deserves a fuck you. No, I'm kidding. I actually didn't even care about naming shit. But I do like seeing the different planets. And when I was listening to PC Gamer Podcast, I thought it was interesting that one of the guys decided not to use his spacecraft as much as possible unless he was absolutely forced. So he just stayed on one planet, and he said he was having a great time. It's a planet. It's huge. There's so much stuff on it. Generally, it's only playing off of like 5 central constructs that you're going to see throughout the whole planet. But the random generator, this is the weirdest thing about the whole game. You get your own planet when you, like, nobody else gets to go to another planet unless you invite people. And that's yours. It's a special little thing. And when you go to the next 2, 3, 4 planets, probably nobody's ever been there either. In this game that hundreds of thousands of people are playing. And it makes it weird because there's billions of planets. It's a weird thing to wrap your head around how they did this. I think it's special. And I hope that it will continue to grow. And if there's another update as important as this one was in a year or two, this game has, I think this was my last wrap up before Next came out, when I said, the groundwork has been laid. Like, this game has tons of potential. It's kind of like Star Citizen in a way, except for you can play this right now. That's the way I look at it.
Star Citizen is that it's kind of like the ship game, like where you just you can purchase like a whole bunch of different types of ships, right?
Well, yeah, but there's you're a Star Citizen, so you can go to cities, oh. You can do jobs, there's quests, you can go star fighting, you can be a space pilot.
Did it have a
dogfighter?
Did it have first person PvP on foot?
Yeah, they were starting to do that as well.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that game a long time ago.
No, wait, dude.
Maybe not.
Star Citizen is not out yet.
Okay. Yeah, it is. You can play Star Citizen.
Yeah, you can, but it's not out.
I'm like, yeah, I had a friend who like pre-ordered he had like the alpha or whatever.
All right. Yeah, it has a lot going for it, and people are shitting on it all the time because people are putting $100,000 in it. And
ads for that game are pretty cool. Like when they're advertising a ship.
No, it looks fucking awesome.
It looks like a car dealer is like advertising this.
Yeah.
This ship. It's really cool.
I don't know. It's a popular game right now, No Man's Sky. Like, everybody's playing it. A lot of people are talking about it, mm-hmm. but it is definitely
Bobby, not the would game you for say me. This? You don't like crafting survival, nor do I.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say it might be the best crafting survival that you've played?
Well, I don't know. The best, to speak objectively, I don't know about that. I like Subnautica better.
Oh, that's right.
That's just me personally. But I think you a lot that. Of people might like this game.
A lot of people do.
Now, when we were playing it, we were playing with someone who was using mods, and when you scan a life form, that takes a good 4 or 5 seconds, maybe, and then when you have to like destroy a rock to get the resources, depending on the size of the rock, that could take a couple of seconds. Now, he had these mods where you could just do it instantly, and the jetpack lasted longer. It just basically kind of sped up the game.
Quality of life upgrades.
So I don't know if it would be better with that, but
I feel like it would be, but also he had some stuff that were like almost cheat worthy, you know? So mm-hmm. I would like to personally pick things. If you can customize everything, and in a game like this, you're really only playing against yourself and how much time you want to put into it. Mm-hmm. So they should probably implement all those yourselves, you know? Like, I mean, you should be able to select these mods within the game eventually.
I think I spent like 20 minutes gathering the resources and putting together this new laser beam that would mine rocks faster. But it's kind of a moot point because he just had the modification where it just is instant. So it's like, I don't know.
But you can't blame the devs on that.
Yeah, I don't.
Or can you?
I don't know. I don't know if I can blame them or not. I want to, but I don't know if I can. Because it's like Factorio.
Those slimy bastards.
And some games are designed like Factorio. It's just like you upgraded this new time-saving feature. And are we really just playing like these mobile internet games from 2008 where it's just all about reducing wait times?
Yeah, wait times.
I don't know.
Interesting. I like the game. Bobby doesn't. There you go. Go figure it out.
Figure it out for yourself. All right. Is that all that we have? Oh, no, I wanted to mention Heroes of the Storm. Every Saturday and Sunday, it alternates back and forth, but Diplo is doing their in-house gaming league. They call it DGL. All ranges of skill level. I know we got a few HOTS players on our Discord, so if you're interested in that, check them out over at diplo.gg. I played in it the other night. I only played one game, but it was fun.
Why DGL? Does that have anything to do with us?
No,
Diplo like Gaming League.
No, we're DLG.
Diplo Gaming League. Got it. No, I get it. I just like it had their. Okay, never mind. There's some stuff in there. Portal 2. Me and Chad got. Well, I was drunk, and Chad wanted to play some video games, mm-hmm. and we talked, and I was like, "Dude, I really like to go back to Portal 2." And man, I always say that. The best co-op experience on PC, except for especially for two players, is Portal 2, and it lived up to the hype, man. We went back, and it's been so long that we forgot the puzzle, so we're trying to forget. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember all the different little intricacies that you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. We had a really good time. Eventually, I had to go because I was going to go throw up. No. But we had a good time. And I look forward to continuing this quest with him. The only downside was that we didn't know how to delete our old saves. So all the levels were open. And so nothing was like really being presented as new. Except for Gladys is being glib and shitty as ever. You know, she keeps saying that one of you is doing better, but she can't tell us which one is better. Yeah. And so it's fucking awesome in that vein. Just wanted to touch on that. What is the other? I have something else on here. Oh, Moonlighter, did you already talk about that?
No, I didn't. And actually, I listened to last week's podcast, and Bobby virtually summed up my experience with Moonlighter. I enjoy Moonlighter, so don't get the wrong idea because I rage quit that I don't like it. I do like Moonlighter. It's just that I don't know how to play roguelikes in the element where I know how to
die.
I know, Noelle, I know when it comes to pulling back easily at any time, I could have just taken my entire inventory and just went back and just progressed with the game. Yeah. But I was like, oh, no. I still got a little bit of health left. Let's push it to the next room, take it to the next level. And it's so punishing.
That's super aggressive.
So, yeah. it was so punishing. I was like, okay, I just can't do this right now. I feel like I need to restart the whole game.
You got to be in the right set of mind.
And like set the difficulty lower. Yeah, so I will get back into Moonlighter, but at the time being, no. I think for where I am with the playing, like the game style I want to play, it's kind of just in your face, maybe shooters. With Moonlighter, it's casual, but it's not casual because you do have to be on your toes, and I imagine it's pretty rewarding, but also right now all I felt was the punishing side of it, especially since I don't usually play roguelike, so I'm probably not that good, but I put it on hard anyways. And
that's probably another reason.
That's my problem because like I almost always love starting on the harder difficulty.
Punishing.
Yeah, I know.
And the other thing is like, you're not going to beat the game in your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 137th playthrough. It's like, it's intended for you to lose.
Mm. Yeah. Moonlighter is cute. And there are so many cross references to Zelda and other classic RPGs. There's a lot of nostalgic appeal to just the story direction of the game. I like it a lot.
I'm so glad that Bobby liked this. Because, like, this is kind of like, oh, shit.
And that's a hard close on the rig.
Whoa.
We're still recording, though, right?
Are we recording? We're recording.
We're still recording.
Should we just continue?
Just
go.
Everything took a
the
shit.
The whole computer just shut off.
Yeah. We got a literal green screen and two black screens out of our three screens. After Moonlighter, we're going to move on to, what do we do after? Oh my God, I have no direction in my life. What? Oh, Pit People. I'm playing this off of Bobby's account. We keep having an issue where like I lose his games. But anyway, we figured it out. And so it is a turn-based strategy RPG with crazy characters from, what are they called, Bobby? That team?
Behemoth.
Are we talking turn-based, like classic RPG, or
no? I'm sorry. More like
tactics, or
tactics.
Okay.
And the weird thing about this tactics game is that you don't attack with, you don't say this guy attacks this guy. You position your guys, and they decide who they're going to attack. So if you put your warrior,
they have these class tendencies, and they.
I would say it's more random. Bobby, what do you think on Pit People? Do you think it's random or they're...
It's kind of random, but you put them in the position to where you think they're going to attack.
Yeah, but they won't always do what you want them to do, which is interesting. It's all super goofy, as all Behemoth games are. And I really like that... what's the narrator, Bobby? That's become synonymous
with... Oh, I can't remember his name.
Oh, it doesn't matter, but I guess we're Hattie... I guess is what I first knew him as. He has a great, great voice for video games, and he's voiced all their video games. So that's why Behemoth and this guy are kind of like intertwined.
What else has Behemoth made that I might know?
They made, Bobby?
Castle Crashers.
Okay.
Okay, and what's the other one that's like the one that I played.
Battle Block Theater?
Yeah, Battle Block Theater. And so he's got this crazy voice that's all over the place. Yeah. But it's not annoying, and it just keeps you intrigued. And the way that he implemented in this, I hadn't seen before, where he's kind of like being serious, but also being snarky. Kind of. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. And the gameplay is strange for the reason that I told you. Like, if I'm going to be strategic and place my guys strategically, I want them to do what I want them to do. But no, they're going to do whatever they want to do. So you're kind of just like hoping for the best. And there's a lot of things going on. I know that later on that electricity and water and fire and lightning and all these different things come into the game because reviews I've heard. But I'm basically just on like arrows and swords, which is nice. I'm learning the game slowly. I guess it's going to get way more complex. My healer is a cupcake, and he just throws cupcakes randomly around himself.
I didn't know if you meant that in a literal sense.
Yeah, literal cupcake. He scoops frosting off his head and chucks it out.
That is hilarious.
And if that hits an enemy, enemy. So I got to make sure I put him in the right area. And so, but I'm not saying anything bad about this game. I'm actually having a really good time.
Graphics on this game are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all hand-drawn. This is how all their games look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Battle Block Theater is really cool. Sam and I played it for hours on end. That was more of a platformer. And the combination of his voice, the art, the story's pretty good. For like something that's drawn this way,
yeah,
I was like, "Hey, yeah, I'll do that. Let's go." Apparently, a giant bear fell on the earth, and it controls pretty much anything, and it'll whack anything. Like it's like if you're doing something he doesn't like, he'll like, and he'll just take it away randomly. I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time, and I can't wait to play it some more.
This isn't made by the people who did.
If it doesn't look exactly like this, no.
It did, but it was a long time ago. Alien Hominid?
No.
Oh, wait. Maybe.
Oh.
Because I remember that guy.
Bobby, what happened? Our computer shut down?
It could have had to do with the driver update that I did for the graphics. Yeah, Alien Hominid, I think, was like an early thing that they did.
Because the art style looks exactly the same.
Independently developed and run video game developed.
By Behemoth. Yeah.
No, there it is. Oh, okay.
This is like their first.
Yes, they did develop.
That was a console game, wasn't it?
I think it was on PC as a free game. Like it was a browser-based game.
2004.
And then they released it on console.
Yeah, like, I see it. PS2, GameCube, Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, cool thing about Behemoth, their headquarters is here in San Diego.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Go take a tour.
One of the, maybe the only development company we have out here. I think like Sony's got offices and stuff out here.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've been
like a bunch of the big ones do, but yeah, Behemoth, San Diego local. All right.
Sweet.
I think that's all the games.
Is that all the games? Yeah.
It's everything we've been playing this week. It's quite a bit.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk some news. Hopefully Emilio will be joining us shortly here as he has stepped out again.
So this is an interesting news title.
NVIDIA is planning a GeForce event with spectacular surprises on August 20th. Not the first time they've done this. They did this a few years ago when they announced the 1080, I think. Usually they do these big press conferences in August. Then the card or whatever they announce becomes available usually around October. So we all kind of know what it's going to be about. It's going to be about the 1180.
Right.
A lot of stuff is getting leaked. We know it's going to be an amazing card. We don't know a price just yet, but it's looking good.
Just looking at that title or even looking at the card just makes you want to warm up your wallet. Anything with starting with NVIDIA, it just makes me feel like I need an upgrade, even though I don't need an upgrade. It's just one of those ever grasping holds that NVIDIA has.
What card do you have right now?
I'm on a 970. So technically, yes, but
probably time for an upgrade.
Yeah, I know. But let's just wait until August 20th.
When the 1180 Ti comes out, I'll probably get that. But that usually doesn't come out until about six months later, right?
What's going to happen to your... Do you have a 1080?
Yeah, I got a 1080 right now.
See, I'm the hand-me-down girl.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be. But so we're talking about
your hypothetical garage that I'll be digging through. It's like, oh, hey, Bobby, do you need this? Actually, I've been using your monitor stand. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
It's a good monitor stand.
I am saving a lot of space by having my second monitor stand vertically. I can't say that I prefer it that way, but for now, it's how it's set up. So
good for chat windows.
Yeah.
So, Bobby, got a question for you. One of my friends, and he's sometimes in here, Scorm. He currently has a 1070 Founders that's liquid cooled. Mm-hmm. Now, he wants to buy a 1080 Ti. I'm trying to tell him to hold out until
right
he...
Right now? Yeah, that'd be a terrible idea.
That's what I'm trying to tell him. He's like, nope, I'm going to buy it. I was like, dude, you're getting... like
Same
maybe
thing
like
Jens did. Right before the 10 series came out, he bought like a 980.
It's like, what? It's like a 10% upgrade for like $700.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because as soon as they announce this and the card comes out, then... You know, the prices will go down on other stuff. Who knows how long it's going to take. It always feels like there's never a good time to buy a graphics card because it always, the prices are always dropping on these. They aren't like some other pieces of hardware where they kind of maintain their value.
But would you say this is a bad time to upgrade from a 1070 to a 1080 Ti?
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get, what games is he playing that he feels he needs to upgrade?
I mean, he has like a 144 hertz or 120 hertz. So he likes to get as many frames as he can looking the prettiest it can.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait till they come out, and then there's going to be a price drop. I mean,
unless he's going to buy it used, because there's a lot of people probably gearing up to sell their 1080s, 1070s. Yeah. A little patience will save you some money.
Yeah,
all right,
that's ridiculous.
Story.
We skipped hardware, huh?
Yeah, do we have anything for hardware?
Yeah, I want to talk about Mini's new $600 motorcycle jacket and why it was $600.
Wait, like a jacket you wear?
Yeah. Motorcycle jacket.
Yeah. I don't know anything
about
it.
Did you get jealous of my jacket?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, your jacket did look good, though.
Yeah, Mini took me on the first and only bike ride I had with Mini.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I like your jacket. I'm like, thanks.
It fit your form very well. It seemed like it was tailored to you.
Which I appreciated. Yeah.
Really good jacket. Although, if you went down in that, I think it would just tear right up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not... Ugh.
So the cool thing about these motorcycle jackets is they're like armor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has armor plating.
I remember, I think it's got this huge, what feels like a, I imagine if you ripped open the back of a motorcycle jacket and pulled out what you had behind there, it would look like a sled.
Oh, yeah.
The back part, a snow sled.
Well, this one has what's called a race hump. So right behind my head, it has like that triangle that goes from like, My shoulders, my lats.
Yeah.
My lats. Mm-hmm. No, not my lats. My traps down to like lats. The center of my spine. I used to shut
up. Where lats would be.
Yes. Anyway.
We should start doing kettlebell workouts, all of us together.
I hurt. My whole body hurts.
So this is called a, it's by Alpine Star. It's called the Missile Air Tech.
Okay.
It just came out this year. I was doing a lot of research on this, trying to find the perfect jacket. And it's a race-inspired jacket. It has armor everywhere. So yeah,
what's that hump
do? Right there. So it's just aerodynamics.
Basically. Oh, okay.
It's aerodynamics and
is that your jacket right there?
That's my jacket right there, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it looks like your hair too. Is that you?
My hair is much prettier than that.
Oh, okay.
On my lats, now talking about the lats and my inner arm, it's all like a fibrous material, so it allows air to breathe. The other jacket I had was 100%
leather. We were talking about this the other day. So it allows for airflow to keep you cooler, right?
Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
be so worried about that getting stolen.
Oh, yeah.
A $600. Well, I mean, not many bikers are... You know,
that's the other thing.
Bikers,
I saw Mini the other day. I could have sworn you left your jacket and your helmet on top of your bike.
Yeah, you know that.
And
that,
we went to go eat.
That's no, like, I don't care. About. That's all cheap stuff I got. But now that I got this jacket, I'm not leaving it out.
Oh, gotcha.
That jacket I had, I paid $100 for. I had it for like 3 years. So if somebody stole it, I'd be like, yeah, I guess it's time to get a new one anyway.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So a lot more airflow because the other one was like almost all leather. Had almost no breathability. This one goes from my lats, from my inside the wrist to my mid side of the lats. It's all breathable.
Can you start saying former lats? Because
yes, I can.
To my lack of lats.
It's all breathable. Then the center chest area, it's all perforated leather. So that gets air in as well.
Nice.
So it's really good. This thing, so the AirTech.
Could you tell right away? Is there buyer remorse?
Oh, no, not at all. At first, I'm like, dude, am I really about to drop $600 on this? Like, if I don't like it, I'll just bring it
back. Hey, this is Anthony Thripsley.
Welcome back to the...
So that's the Revzilla guy. He actually, I watched his videos. He's really informative. He knows what he's talking about.
Bobby, that.
It's like every YouTube video ever.
Welcome back, guys. There's a little
hey. The guy modeling the jacket looks too big for it, though.
Oh, well, it's supposed to fit you very tightly.
Is that how the jacket kind of makes your arms spread like that?
Yeah, yeah. The armor kind of like makes you look like you have like a fighter's pose.
I thought he was doing that just so you see different angles of the arm.
No, if you see me put it on, my arms are kind of monkey like that, monkey it out.
You know what's really weird about things like this? Do you guys know that powerlifters use a vest that helps them push it up? It's kind of like a spring. It's kind of exactly like this.
Yeah.
It holds you like this.
Oh, okay.
So your hands are out like this. And then you get under the push-up bar or the dumbbell, yeah. And then you pick it up, and then you drop it, and then the spring helps you.
Okay.
And they all use this, huh. And all their world records. It's just like this weird thing that's accepted.
That is weird.
Strange.
But yeah, my first ride, I just took it on the freeway. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I could just feel the air coming into me, and it was just awesome. But the AirTech, they say, is... the part of this jacket, it's actually like $1,000 add-on, which is another vest that you put on the inside, and you put CO2 canisters on this, and it's basically a deployable airbag. If it detects you getting hit,
impact,
it has what do you call those things when you move something, accelerometer, it has accelerometers in there. So if it detects you getting hit or you're falling,
is there an ass pad for that? Because I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I don't think so.
Do you blow up like a giant? Like,
oh, it's like, they have videos on here as well, but it's like it's not huge. It's not like you're the Michelin Man all of a sudden,
right?
But you do see like in the video, they kind of like their chest puffs up, kind of like a maybe like a bullfrog.
Interesting.
It's really cool. They have one for the neck.
The one
as well.
That you have has this.
It has the ability to have that attachment. Like I said, it's like $1,000.
Oh, gotcha. On top.
So, yeah. It's
just don't fall off your bike. You don't need it.
Yeah, right? But that's what the jacket's for. Like, I paid money to stay safe.
I love hearing about, like, super in-depth stuff of things that I don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything's going off into infinite complexity. And, right. Like, if I don't look at something for a little while, I'm like, whoa, it got so much better in the last... But it literally went from leather jackets, the fawns, to what you just described.
Yeah.
Look at that jump exactly. For me.
And basically, yeah. That's what I had, just like a cheap leather cowhide, just nothing but cow all over me. But this one is really awesome. Really, it's just so comfortable, man.
Nice. I'm glad.
But not cheap.
Oh, you're going to go for the pants next?
Oh, that's Bobby. Another $600. It looks nice, man. That's another $600,
bro. Another $600. Yeah, wow.
And the gloves, I just bought new gloves. That's another $100. Oof, it gets pricey.
Somebody's been working in the desert.
Yeah, right. Got something to show for it.
All right. So let's finish up news here, then we'll get on to listener questions. That last bit of news I forgot to mention came from PC Gamer, where we get most of our news. This one comes from Ars Technica. Steam sees surprisingly significant usage dip in 2018.
It's not surprising. They don't have the AAA titles. I've brought this up twice this year.
Yeah.
They don't, you know.
Well, a lot of people Origin, are looking at PUBG for this. A lot of people think it's because a lot of people left PUBG, went over to Fortnite.
Yeah.
Well, there was a huge spike right before 2018, so maybe it's just leveling out.
No. Yeah, there's
that is a lot of growth.
Right? I think all the AAA stuff is going away from Steam, and I think it's going to continue this way.
Yeah, it's probably a combination of both of those. Yeah. PUBG, and then you're right, EA is doing their own thing.
Call of Duty's going, or Blizzard's doing their thing. With Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is unreasonable. A lot of people, especially in the hot subreddit, are like complaining about all these new games showing up in the Blizzard launcher, and it does kind of feel like Activision is making the Battle.net launcher like... their I version of Steam Battle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it started with Destiny 2 UI. And now now the new Call of Duty game is coming to it.
What is that called? Oh, it's Black Ops 4, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
I think I'm pretty sure it's Black Ops 4.
They got to step their game up. I don't know what it is, but it's going to take more than a messenger to updated messenger to like.
Yeah, they said they're bringing back flash sales.
Yeah.
Oh, that's actually the next bit of news here. Segue. I didn't even
look at that. No. So flash sales are coming back.
You guys remember
that? That's cool. Oh,
yeah, sure. Yeah. They've been gone for a few years.
I didn't even know they discontinued them until he said they're bringing them back. Like, I just forgot about them.
Yeah. Well, they were part of the Steam sale. So everybody knew Steam sale protocol. Don't buy anything until it's on a flash sale because a flash sale would be even more cheaper. And they lasted 4 to 8 hours. So you really had to keep an eye on it. Kept you checking the front page of Steam constantly. Yeah.
But if you were asleep or like, did they happen in the middle of the night? I guess they did, right? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah,
well, the four-hour ones would be during the middle of the day.
Gotcha.
And then the eight-hour ones. Like, if you checked, you had the ability to check every so often.
There's a combination here that I like. The sales used to be so super complex with all the, like, eight different kinds of sales going on at once. That was too much. And then they went to, like, just sales. And now you're like, there's too much to look at. Mm-hmm. And so a nice combination would be just sales with flash sales. I think that's a nice little middle ground.
Yeah. Well, the flash sales aren't going to be part of the Steam sale. These are just going to be things that I think happen randomly.
Oh,
That was the impression I got from the article here. Huh. And it's going
to be an article, not just a headline. Fancy that.
That pretty much sums up life right now. But it's going to be up to the developers whether they want to participate in this or not. And I think a lot of them will take advantage of this. Do you see yourselves buying games just because they're heavily discounted? Like, are you going to jump on some stuff?
Probably.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
Well, now that we're a happy Steam family again, Bobby, I don't think so. I don't think I need to buy any video games ever for the rest of my life.
So you take material things from me, digital things from him.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Emilio, you were talking, you told me today that you recently spent $150 on Amazon.
Oh, games. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And because in your drunken stupor,
how many times have I said, gee, you weren't here for a lot of this, but I was saying that I keep taking that Amazon deal on Reddit. It's like, how can you pass up on it? $50 for a AAA title pre-sale. And I kept saying I bought three and I could not remember what the third one is. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Amazon orders, see what I ordered. So I bought Rage 2.
Okay.
Fallout 76.
Okay.
And Fallout 76.
Oh, my God.
Because it was such a good deal, and I was so drunk.
You want to go ahead and gift that to me?
No, I already returned it.
I'm kidding. Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. That's what happened.
All right.
So that's now you can spend the $50 on the Origin sale when they come out with that.
Same thing happened with Dying Light following. I was like, man, that looks good. And then it's like, already in your library. I was like, what? Yes!
I did that recently with my credit card. I accidentally paid my credit card off twice. So I had like a huge credit that they needed to bring back to me. So that's
must be nice.
It was like, oh,
I got to work for free money for a little while, man.
All right, we got quite a few listener questions here. First one comes from Afro Dragon. He says, hey, maybe Chi can answer this question. Why do some women have trouble playing first-person games? My 10-year-old daughter can play Fortnite like a boss, but struggles with Overwatch. My wife 3-starred most of Overcooked, but can't find a door in Doom. She helped me make better gamers of these women.
Oh, my goodness.
Sam can't play FPS either.
Well, because a lot of women that I know that try to play first-person shooters complain about motion sickness.
Yeah.
It's like, if your eyes aren't adjusted to it, it's going to be really hard. So unless you throw them to the wolves very early on, it's
like you were.
Yeah. So with me, first person shooters are what I started with.
Right.
I was much younger when I got into PC gaming. And back in that time, it was only first person shooters. If I was playing a shooter game. So I feel like,
I think it maybe it's their tiny
brains. Shut up, Emilio, please.
Can't handle.
No, but anyways, I feel like it's what they're first exposed to. And they kind of follow suit from there.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I feel like with first-person shooters, you almost kind of want to spare them. Because I feel like when it comes to first-person shooters, outside of single-player ones, there's also that toxic community that comes with it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's probably good that they are where they're at now, unless you want to throw them in the multiplayer servers with all those COD boys and whatnot.
Can you block chat? In Counter-Strike?
Yeah. Yeah, you can mute people.
Yeah, individually.
Yeah.
But they've already called you a nigger 3 times.
Oh, my gosh.
It's their screen name, dude.
Yeah.
But if you, I feel like with anybody, they have to actually really like the game in order to get better at it. So don't just say, hey, play this. It has to be, hey, you'll love this, so go ahead and play it. And if they are enjoying themselves, they're gonna just naturally improve no matter what.
That makes sense.
So it's all about where their interests are, and
you're saying it's more
and how they'll naturally progress and
it's
learn.
More nurture than nature. I had never considered that actually.
For FPSs, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think it's the 3D environment. Like that point of view, that way of interacting with a game, I think is really difficult, male or female, for people who are not gamers. Like that's a hard thing for them to kind of wrap their head around, not just like operating in that environment, but how the controls relate
it's
to
funny.
It. Like that's, I've seen so many people struggle
it's,
with that.
It's funny because I feel like I suck at third person because when I play PUBG, I almost always prefer first person mode. Right. If I accidentally keep third person,
I'm not talking about
like,
the point of view. I'm talking about the environment, like a 3D environment game. Like when, if you didn't grow up playing like Wolfenstein, Doom, Quake, you know, the progression of 3D shooters ever since that became a thing, then it's hard for people to kind of register that and intuitively control that. It's ingrained in our brains by now.
I feel like some of it is nature over nurture because Sam's like, I can't even look at that game like I get dizzy. Yeah. And her mom's like, I'm watching him play just fine.
Yeah.
So
another thing too is, learning.
Some people get car sick. Some people don't.
Another thing, too, is also learning the base values of being good at a first-person shooter. And sometimes, and all the time, the reason why, I think I said this already in the podcast, I'm not sure. But the reason why I love playing Counter-Strike and picking it up and every time, because when I go back, I'm relearning all the things that I was good at before. And I do have to train myself. I do have to put extra time and attention into it. So if they at least learn the foundation of crosshair placement, you know, turning around corners and, you know.
But that's hard if you're throwing
awareness.
Up on your keyboard.
Map awareness is the hardest thing ever. When it comes to,
I feel like those are a lot of advanced things that,
they're pretty advanced.
If you're talking about just getting somebody into that type of genre, I think you need to start with something that interests them thematically.
Yeah.
Like if you just find out whatever they're into, whatever interests them. And if they have a game that is like that, like if there were a Wonder Woman game, like a first person shooter, I could probably get my girlfriend
on
board with
horrible.
That.
That
sounds horrible. She likes Wonder Woman?
I would not like to play first person Wonder Woman. No thanks.
How hot is Wonder Woman?
Dude, first off, so how could I see hot. Over my own tits and shoot?
Wait, new Wonder
that?
Woman or old Wonder Woman?
I don't even know. I'm not a Wonder Woman fan.
just see the next
but think
new one
about
is
movie.
Good. It's the only good DC one there
that's
is.
What I hear. Yeah. That's what I hear.
But think about how many games you've played and like what initially drew you to them and how many games you've played just because you liked the concept
the genre,
of it. And because of that, you learned whatever they required of you just so you could know that. I mean, that's how I work with kids. That's how I see them operate.
That's
like,
the smartest thing you've ever said, dude.
Probably really not, had, but it's up there.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, if you find something to compel them to do that, and with kids, it's easy. Like if all their friends are doing it, they want to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that it's a peer pressure thing. But if you find a reason, I never used Reddit before. Oh, there's a Heroes of the Storm subreddit. I know all about Reddit now. I'm a fucking Reddit expert. Yeah. You just got to find the angle.
I didn't know how to sing, but the DuckTales theme song just made me learn it, and now I know it.
That was it. Hello. That was the hook for you. All right, next question comes from kind of a big deal. Bobby, do any of your students know that you do a gaming podcast? If not, tell a funny story about school kids. The last one was funny as fuck. What was the last story?
Me taking a shit at the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
No, the last time it came up at my work was, I think, 2015. I had some kids who were really into gaming. Cool kids. Very cool kids. He's got a... One of the kids had a YouTube channel that was actually pretty successful. I don't know if he still does it or not, but this is like 2015 and they asked me about it and I was like, don't worry about it. And it's funny because they would probably listen to think like, oh, what's he like? Not in the classroom, but then they would listen and it's just me blabbering on and on and on, which they get enough of in the classroom anyway. So it's not like, I don't know. I think they would be very disappointed.
This is a guy, by the way, guys, Bobby thinks he blabs on and on. So send in those comments and suggestions.
Yeah. Funny story. I got a great story. It's my best story about working there, but it's more of a visual gag than anything. So I don't know if I can really tell it on a podcast.
Huh.
I probably told it before.
Thanks for bringing it up, bro.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, guys, there's these things called galaxies. They're really pretty. Don't have any pictures. Sorry.
Yeah, it might take up too much time anyway.
Yeah. So.
All right, cool deal, bro.
He also has a second question. Also, why don't you guys listen to me when I tell you to get a mesh network?
He thinks that we're still on Wi-Fi. We're not on Wi-Fi. We're hardwired, but we're in Mexico.
I think he's talking about just your personal use. I don't have a big enough place to justify a mesh network.
What is a mesh network?
It's like when you plug those things into your outlets. Mm-hmm. Is that the one?
Well, you know how traditionally you have a wireless router and then that puts out a signal. And if you're far away, then it's not a very strong. It's a problem that people with big houses have. Geez, so it doesn't apply to us.
Oh, okay.
So a mesh network basically puts a bunch of access points that are not just repeaters, but there's some technical difficulties. But it gives you more coverage area in your house, so you get better Wi-Fi all over the place.
And you get grid Wi-Fi, basically, is what you're setting yourself up for.
Yeah.
Like a house like this, you could use it.
You want to know what my new
Wi-Fi
is?
You can't have my Wi-Fi, Chi.
So, I'll just take everything else. Now, my new network name. What's everyone's network name for their Wi-Fi? Bobby, I forgot yours.
Oh, it's the it's like an emoji of a dude flipping you off.
Oh, that's it? And then Emilio is...
DLG
for life. How about you, Mini?
I didn't do Mini that. Net. Sam did
Mini
that.
Mini Net?
Yeah.
Oh. And then mine is Mi Wi-Fi, Su Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Is it free?
Do you get it free?
Open, no password?
Put a guess?
Huh? No. It's just for guests. I don't even know my own password. Oh, no, right. I do. So,
Because you can set up your Wi-Fi to have... open guests. I guess can just use it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, as in like routers.
People around your house. I don't. I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
But
do you have coverage? I mean, Emilio, you've got the biggest place of all of us. Do you have problems with Wi-Fi coverage here?
No, our problem is the spout. Like the...
just the internet in general.
In general, yeah. Okay. Whatever's coming to the house is very wacky.
So even upstairs, outside, you don't
have issues? No, we have a really good router.
Do you have a 5 or 2.4 megahertz?
5, I think.
Yeah, it's a... 5. You can't really buy it.
It has 9 antennas on it. Is that good?
From what I hear, like 5 has trouble going through walls.
Yeah, it's faster, but
we have cheap Mexican walls down here, dude.
Usually, like the router that you buy today comes with both. Like it'll put out a 2.4 and a 5 gigahertz. So you'll see like two SIDs being broadcast, and you connect to either one of them. And yeah, the 5 gigahertz they recommend for like streaming.
I just turn off the 3 gigahertz.
The 2.4. Yeah, I don't use my 2.4.
Or 2.4, whatever.
There are devices that can't use it. Like I was looking into, I got the Google Home and the thermostat that connects to my Wi-Fi. I really want to do a light switch, but they don't make a light switch that works on a 5 gigahertz network. They only make ones that work on 2.4. So if I got one, I would have to enable that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like we're having Wi-Fi.
What are you talking about?
It's a mesh network. I was curious to know what a mesh network was. So.
Cool.
All right. Next question comes from NJ Slap. It's a long one. My good friend and I went to high school with just competed in the duo Fortnite summer tournament with $500K at stake. He and his duo partner won $42,000. Damn. Ooh. He won a game. When I watched him stream, he killed Dr. Lupo and Daquan. And that's how you pronounce that, right?
No, I know.
Okay. I know who that is. I've seen clips of him. And sniped Tfue in the head. Tfue sucks, in parentheses. I was wondering how you guys would react to being a full-time gamer. To me, I feel like a lot of the game repetitively would get exhausting and boring. I'm super stoked for my friend, and it's great news, but I want to hear your guys' input. By the way, my buddy's Twitch is ZZDMO
underscore.
And he is on Team Ghost. Pretty cool. I don't know. Could you guys be a full-time gamer? At this point in my life, I could not.
At this point, no. Definitely not. But early 20s? Yeah, totally.
If I could be a housewife full-time gamer, yeah. Sign me up. No, I'm just kidding. No. Full-time gamer would be awesome. I think it would be great to go around and just basically be a video gamer athlete. Of course, I feel like knowing what a full-time gamer is, it's very short-lived. So just like most athletes, you only have a small window of where you can get success.
Get in, and get out.
Your success is also predetermined by the success of the game that you're playing all the same. And there are so many inconsistencies. So I would be very uneasy.
You'd never be like stress-free.
Yeah, I would be, well, I mean, that's my life anyways.
Even Ninja's like, what's next? I bet he's thinking about all the time.
Yeah, but that's the mind of an entrepreneur. Yeah. And I think if the opportunity were available, if I were capable of being a full-time gamer, hell the fuck yes. You know, like even if I were capable to be a full-time streamer, yeah, sign me up. But at the same time, it's... I don't know. It's just like anything else you would, as long as you're fully invested and you can make the most out of it. So I would say, yes, I would, you know, everything comes with its own stressors. I think it'd be a lot of fun, but it would be short lived.
I feel like, work in general, just nobody, it's work. You got to go and do work. I feel like being a pro gamer might be a little more fun than most games or most jobs. But not by much. You still have to be somewhere at a certain time. You still have to be regimented. You have to have discipline. You need to do well.
We got
to
be careful with the term pro gamer, because there's a big difference between a pro gamer and someone who just streams for a living.
Is there, though? Professional gamer?
Pro gamer is like pro gamers, going to tournaments winning.
Yeah,
like you got like scrims 8 hours a day. Yeah. Like you got
practices.
Yeah.
It's so much harder doing that. That's what happened to a lot of people in the HOTS scene. They're like, I mean, it doesn't pay a whole lot. A HOTS pro player makes anywhere from 20 to 60K a year. And some people will make more than that streaming in the HOTS community even. So they have to make a decision. And streaming is just a hell of a lot easier. So like, why are they busting their balls?
Is it though? Because you have to be entertaining as well. And that's a whole different thing.
Well, if you're good, you don't need
to be. You don't have to be, like Shroud.
Like Shroud, yeah.
I feel like with Twitch streamers, there's such a huge variety. You could find success in any shape or form. There's no one surefire equation that leads to streaming success.
That's the fun part about it.
Yeah, but I'm not just talking about like their ability to play the game. I mean, think about what goes into the life of a pro gamer. You not only have to practice constantly, but you have scrims, you got reviews, you
have natural talent.
Your life is kind of just being maintained for you by other people. Like that's a tough life to live, I think, at a certain point. You know, it's almost like being in the military. Dota 2 is the pinnacle of this. The team that won the TI last year, like they had to sign contracts like I have to be awake, shaved, fed by this hour, and like in practice I won't go out drinking or partying or use drugs. Like they would totally do that
for a couple of years. I would totally do that.
But Bobby, so if I were to promise you your salary at all the same hours that you're doing now, you wouldn't do that and playing whatever games you wanted, streaming, let's say.
It's a matter of consistency for me. You got to think of the future, you know.
The pension and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you could guarantee me that job for the next 35 years with a good retirement plan and health benefits and dental and eye, then yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. If I got everything, and I'm not just talking about money-wise, I'm talking about like long-term investments. Like I realized the other day, I invest almost a third of my income now. Like I'm thinking of the future here.
Damn.
I listen to old people. I'm surrounded by them constantly at work, and I'm taking their advice.
It's good.
I'm just going to play. I'm going to retire and play WoW for the rest of my life. That's the game plan.
Not me, bro. I'm going to get rich quick any second now.
VR, right?
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Next question.
Thanks for depressing us all. Moving on. Slap.
Well, that's a question that comes up a lot. Like even doing what we do, like if we could do this full time, would we? I mean, I don't know. I think we've already answered it. All right, Shady asks, why is Mini called Mini? Is it the size of his package?
Yes.
I think that comes up a lot, too.
Yeah.
When you were first on, you talked about the origin of your name.
Yeah, the origin of Mini Del Monte was just, it was given to me. I don't want to go into the story again as to how, because it's a boring story. Basically,
wow.
Let me shorten it up. There was a guy that was, I was playing Counter-Strike back in the 1.5 days, and my name was just Player. I didn't customize my name. His name was like Mini. And I was in the server that he's known for. I kicked his ass. I was just playing around. And then somebody is like, oh, this guy's nobody, and he's kicking your ass, Mini. And he's like, you should call him Mini Macho. So I just went with Mini Del Macho. That's how I came about my name, Mini Del Macho.
Well, it's cool that you stuck to the same handle since 1.5.
Yeah, that was...
If I stuck to my same handle, you guys would be calling me Willis May. Like, that was my original CS handle.
What was your name before Chia LaBeouf? Because I remember that changed, about a year ago.
Smoochie?
Was it just Smoochie? It might have been just Smoochie.
I think it was Smoochie.
And then before Smoochie, I don't even know. It was just like random
Willis
shit.
May?
No. I think it was just Chi. Like, if I could get away with Chi, it was just Chi.
So I think the question more is, like, why do you guys call me Minnie instead of my name?
Because you require us to do that.
It's not more
it's in his contract.
You cringe when anyone calls you by your real name.
It just, yeah. It really
yeah, he stopped me in my tracks. I was like, hey, Sean. And he's like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck,
you just never called me Sean ever.
The funny thing is, I'm Smoochie because I wanted a screen name that had my official name in it. Mm-hmm. That's why Chia LaBeouf,
yeah.
Smoochie. I want people to call me by my name. Right. I don't like it when people address me by my name. So that's what, so I'm the exact opposite of you.
When Sam, she calls me Sean, and that's completely fine. Like, it's just how I interact with people.
Yeah, when she says your name, I'm like, who? Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's funny when once you start calling someone a certain name, then it kind of sticks, and to call them anything else is weird.
I've had a lot of people call me Smoochie in real life, like people who know my gamer side pretty well.
That's and then
they
my
just
phone.
They just come out with, yeah, I noticed that, by the way. That was weird. I think when Emilio was helping me move, I saw on his phone our message or something, and it still had Smoochie on it. I'm like, Emilio, I think I would be more than just Smoochie to you at this point now, right?
No, just Smoochie.
But anybody I meet through my gaming life, when I was younger, I used to call them by their gamer tag. Like, if I met somebody in my town, then we like just meet up. Mm-hmm. I call them by their name. Like, there's a guy who, he was the White Wizard. And I went up to Sacramento to visit him. And
it
was old from 10 years ago. Uh-huh. And I went up to Sacramento. We partied. And the whole time I was calling him Wizard. And people were like, why the fuck are you calling him Wizard? Right. That's his fucking name, man.
Yeah.
You call him Wizard.
This guy's a grand wizard.
I don't think, how weird would it be if I actually addressed you as Digi and you as Ender? How weird.
I think it was awesome. Ender's so much better than Emilio.
Really? I call him Emilio, though. I never say the E.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I call him Emilio.
I never even
and Bobby's Bobby. Yeah.
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 I don't know.
Let's start calling him Bob. Can we all agree?
No, let's not do that. Yeah. I'm going to put a stop to that right now. All right. Next question comes from Sloppy Thor. Favorite alcoholic drink currently or past for Bobby? For me, my favorite drink was scotch.
That
scotch drinker.
Seems so fitting.
Yeah. And I think I've talked about this before. It's a tough thing to be a scotch, because I don't drink beer. I don't drink at all now, but I never drank beer. And when you drink scotch and like you're out with all your buddies that drink beer, there's a big dissonance there. Like, you go up to a bar, you're like sipping on scotch, they're chugging a beer, they're like, let's go to the next bar. And I'm like, dude, I got like half a bottle or half a glass of scotch, half a bottle, half a glass of scotch to finish off here. This is going to be a minute. So
and you get wasted way faster than they do.
Yeah. You get
in my experience.
Drunk.
I was never a beer drinker as well. And everybody else drinks beer. Now I found the happy medium. Finally, there's a answer. There's these like carbonated flavored, it's basically,
truly sparkling.
No. It's like LaCroix with booze in it.
Yeah. Trulies. They're called brand.
There's like three different brands right now.
It's basically vodka soda, but it's not vodka. It's
But the soda's flavored as well.
Yeah.
So
my sister,
no sugar, low carb. It's awesome. It's really good. It's like like a vodka soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of my answer. I have two different favorites. I don't really do sugary drinks anymore. So I will do most likely like a low gluten or gluten free vodka, Chopin, Tito's and soda, or I will do straight whiskey with a back of Diet Coke. That's it. I can't mix whiskey with anything. I don't like highballs or old fashions or Manhattan.
I used to love Long Islands, but
fuck you up, man.
God, I hate Long Islands.
But just like anything that's just overly complicated. The older I got, the more simple my drinks got.
You were making them at home?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I used to have a bar at my place, remember?
No.
Yeah. I don't remember. Funny story about Long Island.
My mom uses it as a buffet table now.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So my first drink I've ever had, alcoholic drink, was an Irish Car Bomb. And we raced and I won. So, yeah, go me. But a second, but Long Island iced teas were, for some reason, at the time, my boyfriend, when I turned 21, I would always have him, I trusted him to order my drink for me. And motherfucker always ordered Long Island iced teas for me. And that's what I thought alcohol was. Like, it'll my get impression, you drunk. My impression of fucking alcohol was Long Island iced teas. And that was the best tasting, girliest drink I could have.
Oh, my.
And holy fucking shit. Yeah, I like, this is why I don't like any of my ex-boyfriends. This is why I despise them.
Because of one guy's actions?
No, because of like stupid shit like this. And oh, it's like, it's so funny. I don't despise now they Max, have but eight? Like oh, okay. All my previous boyfriends, like there's always something like hella derp about all of them. Hella where I'm like,
what's in an AMF?
I'm like, the fuck was
audio
I thinking?
Motherfucker is, yeah. It's like,
it's like a bartender. Okay. It's a Long Island iced tea, but with blue carousel instead of triple sec. Tequila isn't
that's
all
it?
Long
that's
Island.
The only difference?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know Long Island had tequila.
And instead of sweet and sour, I think you use Sprite. But, yeah. Or
Sean, what's your favorite? See how weird that is?
No, you use sweet and sour.
I'm going to answer.
Hey,
I'm
Sean.
Not even going to answer.
Favorite alcohol?
Who are you talking to,
tequila.
Bud?
You drink it all the time.
Who are you talking to?
Mini.
Yeah? Tequila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drink it straight or what do you do?
Yeah, drink it straight. And I like orange juice. Like my favorite, make sure I found a coconut tequila. And I put that with pineapple orange juice. And that shit is bomb.
That sounds really good.
Oh, so good.
Sam was like, hey, here's fruity. Something me and my ex-boyfriend used to drink. I was like, all right, great.
Me and Amelia 1.0.
Tequila and just lemon
Paloma?
Juice. That's it.
Lemon juice? Oh, yeah. I bought lemonade last night because I planned on drinking that with tequila, but then I just didn't. I completely forgot about
great
it.
Great story. That, one of the best stories I've ever heard on this podcast. Let's move on,
no, hold
Bobby.
Up, hold up. When doing the Morconius interview, was that last week?
Oh, yeah.
So I was playing Deep Rock Galactic with you, and I was drinking a bit. But then I got on the call with Morconius. I'm just, like, taking notes on what we're going to talk about. Right. And I probably had, like, four shots.
I love that interview, by the way.
Did you?
I listened to it. I normally don't listen to the podcast or listener spotlights, but I listened into yours, Morconius.
Yeah, Morconius.
You know what's so
cool
funny?
Guy.
When he was fucking making fun of me, I was listening in the car and I was like, fuck you. I verbally said, fuck you out loud.
I don't remember
he
what he said.
He made fun of the fact that instead of saying inhabitable, I said inhabitable. Inhabitable. Yeah.
That was pretty good.
So I listened to that interview and that was like that was all new to me because I really don't remember that. But anyway, like I said, I was drinking with you a little bit, playing Deep Rock Galactic, made that call. And within 30 minutes, I probably had about four shots of tequila. And then I stopped drinking as soon as it started. So I'm like listening to myself. I could just hear myself getting drunker and drunker.
Dude,
as
you are
the
crazy
interview.
When you're drinking and playing video games. It's like,
oh yeah, I get
you're
happy.
Like you're off the wall.
I get
you're
happy. Like,
well, when you say you're, are you talking about Mini or just
Mini.
You in person?
Mini.
Oh,
I want to talk to people. And,
yeah, he is just nonstop. His mouth is running.
Yeah,
like I wish.
I like it.
It's like he is like an unlimited ammo clip when it comes to like his mouth running when he's drunk.
It's easier to get drunk when you're just sitting in front of a computer screen. Like if you're not up and moving around, you don't really feel it.
And then
just
you go straight to your pee head. And your head goes through the plate glass window because you can't. Yeah.
Well, I think it was the second podcast I did with you. You called me in because Chi was going out.
Right.
And it was a Saturday night, and I was already going downtown, and that's like right next to Bobby. And I was like, I'm going to get fucked up. So I'm doing that interview just drunk as shit, and I had a great time. That's probably my favorite podcast. I was stupid
drunk. Drinking downtown is always fun. Yeah. I love it when we go to Coin Up and all that stuff. Yeah.
Are you really working 7 days? Like
I'm 40 now. I can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Crazy.
Next question from Sloppy Thor. What is Bobby's rank in HOTS? Three accounts, two of them Masters, one of them in Diamond on its way to Masters. I don't play that much ranked, honestly. I should play more. I always say that, but I never do. Mm-hmm. Shit's stressful.
Every other week, it's like, I don't play casual anymore. And then the next 2 weeks later, it's like, I don't play fucking pro or whatever ranked anymore.
I'm all over the place.
I'm only playing Diplo Gaming League now.
Yeah.
All right.
I do really well there.
Last question from Shady. Hungover as fuck. What's the best hangover cure? Don't drink.
That's a prevention. Yeah.
Energy drink with vodka.
I don't know if this still exists, but they used to market these things as hangover cures.
Those pills?
Yeah.
Well, they tasted like wheat. What the hell was it? I used to try them out, and sometimes I'd be like, oh, this shit really works. You know?
Mean that
and
little tiny bottle?
It was like a red bottle. It was the size of a Rockstar. It was like reinvent, reimburse, rejuvenate. It was something like that. But yeah, I don't think those exist anymore because people are like, there's no fucking way to fix a hangover. There's some things like if you do a lot of cocaine, like that will.
Yeah, that'll wait. That'll get you better.
That'll help out a little
bit. You know what my hangover cure is? Call in sick, turn off the world, ignore my cell phone, just lay down for the next 32 hours, and then boom, I'm all cured.
32 hours?
Yeah, I can't. I hate.
That's a long hangover.
I can't handle my hangovers well at all.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Micheladas will do it. That's a beer with salt and
tomato juice
and lime, or like I said, a rock star or monster with vodka, sugar free. Make sure it's sugar free, but probably the latter even faster for sure. Because one's just a beer and the other one's vodka, so you're suffering withdrawals, and that's why it hurts. So you got to give it what it wants.
Everything hurts.
I found that Pedialyte is the best thing.
I've heard that. Yeah,
get your electrolytes in. Yeah.
Totally drink it before you drink, and you get a really light hangover, and then drink it when you wake up, and you're all good. Mm-hmm. I had to do that when I had like a week of partying to do when I was in the military, and that's what everybody was doing. I was like, oh, let me get that a try. Yeah, it worked fine. Had a light hangover, but it wasn't kicking my ass.
I just don't. When I drink now, I try to be as careful as possible to not.
I've noticed.
And to just get to the level where I'm a good tipsy.
Yeah.
And if for any reason I know I'll be like, I need a drive home. Like I'm always coherent enough to like say, okay, this is my cutoff.
Yeah.
And by the time I'll be getting behind the wheel, I'm going to be sober again.
I've noticed you've been, you're responsible about that.
I am. Yeah. I, but when I do mess up, it's ugly. It's so ugly. So I can't stand up straight. Yeah. Passed out on the sidewalk.
That's
actually, I know, funny. Okay, more funny stories. Max, I think for his birthday, I literally passed out on the sidewalk downtown. Oof. And he had to lift my limp body and throw me in the back of a cab.
On his birthday?
What a great birthday.
No, I mean, it was towards the very end of the night. So we walked out of whatever bar we were in. And then, but when we were sitting waiting for an Uber, that's when I passed out on the sidewalk, like next to some hobo. But yeah, but no, he took care of me.
So. At least you were hobo warm.
Do you remember that time Adria and I went to your bar?
Yeah, what happened then?
She got really drunk.
Yeah, she was drinking a lot.
That's easy to do at Cheese Bar.
At my bar? Yeah. The drinks are so cheap, and I'm heavy-handed, that's for sure.
Yeah, she was she was drinking at another gay bar down the road. And I was like, hey, I got a friend that works over here. Let's go say hi to her. She's like, cool. And then
she was having a fun time.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. Then like we walk out of the bar, and of course she's just like stupid drunk at this point. And she's like, so how do you know? I was like, oh, she's, I met her through Twitch. She's a podcaster. And
Was this before you were on the podcast?
I think it might've been, it was before.
Oh.
It was definitely before we got on the podcast. And then she's like, well, why don't you fucking date her then? I'm like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? Like,
crazy.
She's a video game. She's just a girl at games. It doesn't mean I want to fuck her. What is this? Mm-hmm. She got crazy that night. Yeah. Like we didn't really have any chemistry. We were just talking. We're just talking like people do at the bar, and she had this like jealousy spurt that came out of nowhere.
But you and Asia are still together, right?
No.
What?
No, when she moved to Burbank, kind of cut that off.
What, when? No, I didn't.
Really?
Maybe I'm just not paying attention.
Well, you asked me about it when she was gone on the podcast.
Oh, I didn't know.
When she was gone.
She was gone, yeah.
When she was gone.
Well, we got a question in Twitch chat here. Anyone know a good game to buy for 28 euros?
That's like 35 bucks. I think
that's about. I would say, yeah.
I don't know how strong is the euro right now.
Stronger than the dollar.
If you can get newer No Man's Sky for $30, I would do that.
No,
thanks for bringing this back. By the way, I had one more story I was going to go off to.
Yeah, I think we all had a few stories we were going to go off to there, but I don't know. 28 euros. Like, what's the bet?
PUBG's not bad.
Escape from Tarkov.
Deep Rock Galactic. Yeah, for
I keep
sure.
wanting to call it BlackRock.
Yeah, Deep Rock Galactic. There you go.
Is that WoW? BlackRock?
Yeah, BlackRock Depths. But yeah, Deep Rock Galactic is the game I'm recommending to everybody because there's always a time in the day where someone's just like, anyone playing DRG?
Yeah.
on our server.
And if you're not on ours, you can go to the Deep Rock Galactic Discord, and there's always people looking for more there.
If you're listening live, I guess you are. XCOM 2 is on sale for $20. That's if you haven't played the first one, that's probably a good bet, too.
Yeah, XCOM 2, it's, it had a lot of bugs when it first released, and that turned me off to it.
But now I hear it's a lot better. You're welcome.
No.
Wait, what's...
Don't listen to me.
What's in between that one and the other farming sim?
I would say it's the newest generation.
It's in first person, right?
It's a lot of crafting. No, it's third person.
Oh, third person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Brutes makes a good point.
Oh, he's got that one. Which one?
Brutes says, I think the passion behind discussing games came off as passion towards the person.
You've got My Time at Porsche?
Me?
No, the person that asked the question said, got that one.
Move it on.
Okay.
What's the next question, Bobby?
That's it.
Oh.
So what we got? What's everyone playing next week?
I don't know.
Cool.
Monster Hunter World, right?
Man. Monster Hunter World this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
that's
can't wait. Gonna
oh,
yeah. Gonna be playing, mm-hmm. playing more Counter-Strike. That's all
Gee,
I can
do you have it already? Or do you have to buy it? Maybe.
I actually got it gifted. Thank you so much, 12-Gauge Rage. You're
Damn.
The best. We'll be playing together. Yeah.
Dang.
Well, maybe. I think he understood and sympathized with the fact that I spent all of my money moving into my own place and then now work 7 days a week just to afford living on my own. So thank you for your support.
That's awesome.
I heard they were having some issues with that game, but it looks like there's a driver update. So hopefully everything will be okay.
By the time it launches, right?
Yeah.
Bobby's still not interested. Three members of the DLG have it.
Yeah, you guys got it covered. We're all over this.
I
got
my best people on it. He'll be the WoW coverage. Yeah. He'll be the Monster Hunter World coverage. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, WoW comes out the 20th, so I'll be playing that. I don't know, maybe Call of Duty 2. I don't know. I got to finish KOTOR,
When do you go back to work?
Do you still beat KOTOR?
Next week.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rough. That's depressing.
KOTOR is a long game.
Yeah, everything's happening later this year. The TI is on the 20th. WoW is coming out on the 20th. QuakeCon feels like it's later. I don't know. I feel like everything kind of got pushed back this year.
For those live listeners, because of Evo, there's three or four free fighting games on right now, Twitch for the
Sweet.
Weekend. Absolver, Street Fighter V, Tekken Tag. There's four or five free games for the weekend, so check it out. And also check out Evo. I think it's on right now. I'm going to... It's weird that I don't want to check it out for the Street Fighter. I actually want to watch the Dragon Ball Z Fighters.
Ooh,
that game looks good, doesn't it?
It looks so cool that I'd rather watch it than learn it and play it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm going to go check that out.
It's coming out on Switch. I might buy that for Switch just to have a handheld game.
You're switching. I think you will. I feel like you are, man.
No, there's really not much that I'm looking forward to on the Switch. Mm. There's that, Smash Brothers, and Metroid.
That guy needs a little more hair.
He's part of the ZZ Top.
I knew a guy with a long ass beard like that in real life, and I make a joke that if you tied the ends of his beard together, you could use it as a fucking sex swing. Mm. That's how long his fucking beard is, because it goes past his crotch.
Hope he has a strong core.
I wasn't flirting with him. I was just commenting. I'm very fucking lewd, apparently, just being raunchy. Yeah.
What's the thing that I want to bring up? Oh. The cooking game where we're all yelling at each other. Yeah, part two is coming out at the 9th.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, super.
Let's do it. Land night. Let's land party.
Well, that's not on local co-op anymore. You can play multiplayer online.
Oh, shit. So we can spend $80.
That was the big deal about that
You don't want to be in the same room
it's
together, Bobby?
I prefer not to.
We should have a land party at Bobby's place just because it's been so long.
I don't know if I got enough
control. Look how uninviting that look was. He's like, the cleaning involved.
What are you talking about, dude? My place is already clean.
It is. It's like spot.
No, after we're there, it's going to be dirty there.
Yeah, probably.
No, I try to be my cleanest after.
Yeah, you did the dishes here the other day. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, I do.
After you took a microwave, a stove, a tricycle for some reason.
It's just cleaner because more stuff is missing. Not actually clean. It's just gone.
Look at all this room. Every time Chin comes over, we have cubic feet. All right.
Let's wrap it up.
Monster Hunter World for me as well. All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chi, Mini Del Macho, and myself, motherfucking titties.
Why'd you pause on my name that time?
I forget your name sometimes.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you think of something else. Is it another mini?
Yeah. Why don't you go date her then?
Oh, God.